Thank you very much. Shuv kol hakol hakodesh hazeh. The theme of Malchi is permeates the season of Aseres Yimei Teshuva. The Chachamim who are misaken in Nusach HaTfilah, in Nusach HaBishman Esrei, were also misaken that during the Aseres Yimei Teshuva we should change the text of the two brachas. Instead of Hakel HaKodesh, we say Melech HaKodesh. And instead of the bracha of Mishpat that we used to say all year long, on Aseres Yimei Teshuva we recite Melech HaMishpat. But the theme of Malchi is not only applies this Yisrael, not only applies during Aseres Yimei Teshuva, we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Melech all year long. We just emphasize the theme in the Aseres Yimei Teshuva. It's interesting, some don't realize it. Some think that the theme of Malchi is only specially added on to the Musaf Kishman Esri of Rosh Hashanah, when you have the Bracha of Malchi. It's not really true. The Musaf has changed all the Aseres Yimei Teshuva, Melech HaKadosh, Melech HaMishpat. The Mishnah Berurah quotes a Shaila in the name of the Chayei Adam. If a person davens Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, and at the conclusion of the Bracha of Malchi is, he's supposed to say two Hasimah. We combine the two brachas together. We combine the bracha of the Kedushas Hayayim with the bracha of Malchus and Rosh Hashanah. There are 10 themes that have to be spoken of, and we only have 9 brachas. We squeeze them into it. So we combine two of the brachas together. So the two that are combined are different themes among the Tanaim. So we pass from like Rosh Hashanah that we combine the theme of Malchus with the theme of Kedushas Hayayim. So the Hasimah bracha at the end of the bracha of Malchus has 2 parts to it. We say Melech HaKol HaAretz, that's the theme of Malchus. Then we conclude Mekadosh Amo Yisrael, the Yom HaZikaron. That's the Hasim of Kedushas Hayayim. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the name of the Chayei Adam, based on a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi, that there's a possibility that if a person, whenever a person has to recite a bracha that contains 2 themes, and the Hasim of that bracha, the conclusion of the bracha, is supposed to contain 2 different themes, there's a possibility that the Yerushalmi says that if you only mention one of the 2 themes, one would be a Chayei Adam raises such a possibility. The Mishnah Berurah thinks that that's not sharp in the Yerushalmi, and he disagrees with the Chayei Adam. So Leitchik suggested not only not like the Chayei Adam with respect to the bracha of Malchus and Rosh Hashanah in the middle of Musa, but it could even be that with respect to the bracha of Kedushas Hayayim, let's say on Yom Kippur. The bracha of Kedushas Hayayim Yom Kippur concludes Melech HaKol HaAretz Kadosh Yisrael V'Yom HaKippurim. So we mention the theme of Malchus in the bracha. There is no bracha of Malchus on Yom Kippur, but we mention the theme of Malchus in the Hasimus HaBracha as well. And the same is true on Rosh Hashanah, not only during Musaf when we recite all of the Pesukim of Malchus, we have such an arifah, such a lengthy discussion of the theme. Even by Ma'ariv and by Shachris and by Mincha, we also say the same Hasimus HaBracha. Melech HaKol HaAretz, Mekadosh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron. So we mention the theme of Malchus even when we're not reciting the bracha of Malchus. You see that the theme of Malchus is connected with the theme, with the nature of the Kedushas Hayayim. That's part of the motif of the Kedushas Hayayim of Rosh Hashanah and of Yom Kippur. That's the whole Aseres Yimei Teshuva. Is this man or HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech all year long, but it's only Yeshev al Kisei Hadin doing these Aseres Yimei Teshuva. So that's why we emphasize this theme. So Leitchik thought that it's a possibility to say that not only with the Chayei Adam, not because the Chayei Adam wants to say Halacha L'maaseh, the person made a mistake in Musaf. And instead of saying Melech HaKol HaAretz, Mekadosh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron, he just says Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadosh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron. And since you have 2 different themes that have to be included in the Hasimah, so he thought that Pshat and Rishon was that he mentioned one without the other, A without B, B without A, maybe the Yevid one is yours. So Leitchik thought even on Yom Kippur you wouldn't be yours. Perhaps, even by Ma'ariv, by Shachris, by Mincha and Rosh Hashanah. And you don't say the Bracha of Malchus, perhaps you wouldn't be able to say Alki Kashti. Because that's the definition of the Kedushas Hayayim. The Kedushas Hayayim of Rosh Hashanah and Kippur has to have to do with the theme of Malchus. In fact, also, Leitchik suggested, based on old discourse when we showed him that on Yom Kippur, in the middle of the Bracha of Kedushas Hayayim, we should include also an additional paragraph. When we say Kashem and Mitzvotecha, 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 so most of the standard Machzor, all the standard Machzor that we have, on Yom Kippur, we only say Kashem and Mitzvotecha. On Rosh Hashanah, before we get to Kashem and Mitzvotecha, we say, Mavarech HaKol HaLom Kuba Bechlei Decha, Yonasei HaKol HaRez Bikarecha, that's a description of Malchus. So that's what Rachid thought, that it would be Kedai, he told his Balfila and the Yeshiva and Maimonides, that they should add that on before the Chazan says, and over the Sikh also, before they say, Tarishenim and Sasecha, Sasecha, Tarim, Sasecha, they add on, Melecha Kol Haom, Kula Dechoy Decho, Vinasya Kol Haetz, Bikar Recho, Vahofa, Ba'adar, Yon Vezecho, Kol Yesh, Vesecha, Vesecha, Vyeda Kol Pol, Kiyata, Kiyata, etc. And then when you finish Malchusov, a Kol Mashova, like a Rosh Hashanah, then you switch over and you say, Tarishenim and Sasecha, to add on the theme of Malchus, even on Yom Kippur, because Malchus is the theme of, is the motif of the Kedushas Hayom, both of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Malchus is not only crucial to the Musa Dikishman Esther of Rosh Hashanah, it's crucial to the Kedushas Hayom of Rosh Hashanah and of Yom Kippur. And the same as our Soloveitchik thought is true at the conclusion of the Bracha on Yom Kippur, when we say, Ein lo melech mecho b'soleach el rato, and then we're about to say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Mekadosh Yisrael, Melech HaKoloes, Mekadosh Yisrael, Yom HaKippurim. So Soloveitchik said, based on old Miskoyes, that he thought that it would be more correct to add on a Drocha Emes Mitayam La'ad, like we do on Rosh Hashanah, because that is also a description of Malchus, and the Hasimus HaDrocha, in the conclusion, we are going to say, Baruch Ata Hashem Melech HaKol Ha'aretz, Mekadosh Yisrael Yom HaKippurim. So he thought one should add on that phrase, Drocha Emes Mitayam La'ad, and Mekippur as well. In fact, we have it in the Master, we have it by the Hasperus. When you finish the Haferet by Myris and by Shachris and by Musaf and by Nincha by Nima, we don't have it. That's what the Rav said, we should add it on. But by the Bracha of the Haferet, we do have it. When you say the Bracha of the Haferet, and you conclude Malach al-Tahoras, Mekadosh Yisrael, Yom HaKippurim, so you right before the Baruch Ata Hashem, it does say in all the Mazdra, the Bracha and the Esrikayam Ba'at, the Rav Soloveitchik said, oh, you see, it's a Raya, that's the description of the Kedushas Hayom, that's essential to the Kedushas Hayom. You should really add that phrase on in all of the Shmanasis, in the Ma'ariv of Yom Kippur, and the Shachris, and the Rusuk, and the Nincha, and the Niva, not just in the Bracha of Haftar. Exactly what does this theme mean, the theme of Malchus, or Tadish Baruch Hu, and Melech? On Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we emphasize the theme, Tadish Baruch Hu is Yeshiv HaKisei HaDin, judging the whole world, like the king judges. But the Yisoy, the Iker and Amunah of Malchus is valid, is true all year long. The theme of Malchus simply means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything that's happening in the world and is in complete control of everything. That's what Malchus means. Chazanish writes in his Kuntris Amunah Bitochon, he describes what Bitochon is. He says that a lot of people have a foolish way of thinking. They think that Bitochon means when someone is dying from cancer in a hospital, they think that Bitochon means that you have to trust in God that everything will work out well, or he's going to get better. Why should a person think that he's going to get better? That's not what Bitochon means. That's a ridiculous assumption. Bitochon means that we have emunah that whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to happen will happen. Nothing will happen without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's approval. And Bitochon means that we act accordingly. So there's nothing to be worried about. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the person to die, he's going to die. The bunch of wants him to live, he's going to live. It's not fact that anything will happen that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to prove everything that's happening in the world. I remember after the Mohammed Sheshet HaYamin, it was such a successful campaign. It was so miraculous and so startling and so surprising. The Israelis were surprised by what happened. No one could believe it. So the anti-Zionists found it very difficult to understand how could their Baruch Shalom cause such a thing to happen. The whole of Zionism, the whole Medina is all terrible things. How come the Baruch Shalom caused this to happen? So the official terrorist that they gave was that the Baruch Shalom didn't cause this to happen. This was all Maisa Satan. The Satan was running the world. The Satan ran the world. So one of the big rabbis, Moshe Feinstein, the Rabbi Rocha, said at that time, he didn't want to go into open polemics, but in the yeshivas, they said over his name that he said, what do you mean? The Baruch Shalom doesn't run the world. The Satan runs the world. The Rebbeinu Shlom runs the world. Nothing happens in this world without the approval of the Rebbeinu Shlom. That's what it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech. So the Chazanish quotes the passage in the Gemara in Yumer, in his Quintus Amunah Bitochon, and he says that this passage in the Gemara is the basis of our belief in Malchus. The Gemara makes a statement, B'shimcho Yikro Ukos, that in heaven records that keep files of every individual, and when it's time to give reward or punishment, whatever, is going to happen. Zulkomko Yoshivucha, and everybody is placed in the position that he deserves. He gets the shidduch that he deserves, and he gets the job that he deserves, and he gets the cover that he deserves. When Mishaloch Yitzhulach, and they're going to give you what you deserve. They're not going to give you what anybody else deserves. Not Shaq to cheat somebody else and to steal the covet or the panosa or the happiness or the joy or the wealth, whatever someone else is supposed to have. This Shaq to steal. They're all murderers, and they deserve to be punished for what they did, but if if someone was cheated, some kovid or geduva or wealth or happiness or joy was taken away from someone, it means I'm in Asher Lime. They approved it. They decided that that's what the fellow deserves. Just because I deserve to suffer doesn't mean he had the right to cause me to suffer. He deserves his punishment. But this is what our emunah is. We believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech HaKavod. When Mishaloch Yitzchamot, they give you what you deserve. There ain't no one that gave a mukhan lachaveir afilu kinloi nimo. No one can touch what someone else deserves, even a hair's worth. There ain't malchus nagas v'chavos afilu kinloi nimo. And one kingdom will not be able to last even 5 minutes after the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the other kingdom, the other government to take over. Of course, there is a mitzvah ishtagmus. A person shouldn't just sit back and think that the kainos is going to fly in from heaven. He shouldn't think that the shidduch is going to fall from heaven. It has to be ishtagmus about all of these things. But with the ishtagmus, it is expected of us to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should see to it that everything works out with Hitoi. Gemara quotes the pasuk of Rosh Hashanah for Chassid Leis Mitzvah. The Gemara says, what is it that the person has to pray for? Leis Mitzvah. So the Gemara says, Leis Mitzvah means ashidduch. It means parnasa, it means happiness, it means joy, it means good health, it means everything. You have to daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything because he's the only one who's really in control. A person has a chayvus ishtaglus to try to see to it that him should happen to derech hateva, but he shouldn't place all of his reliance on his ishtaglus. He should realize that it's really the yod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Many of us exaggerate our chayvus ishtaglus. We chant for other people to an exaggerated extent. A little bit is understandable. You look around, so many people chachaming other people because this person has control of this and he has control of that. And people pressuring other people, you have to put in a good word for me, you have to do this. And pulling strings ahim and pulling strings ahim. So much ishtaglus is an obligation to do a little ishtaglus. It doesn't have to be so much. A little bit of ishtaglus. The main ishtaglus will be by the boss, by the Melech Malchei HaMelechim, the Rebbeinu Shlomo, who's running the whole shop, who's in control of everything. The Gemara comments on the Pasuk in Tehillim. Kirum Zulois with Nayodam, a very strange pasuk, very difficult to translate the words. Kirum Zulois with Nayodam. The Gemara says that that pasuk is alluding to Tfilos. The Tfilos from Zvar Ha'omdim, Rum Shalom, Rum, and it's Zulois with Nayodam. People are very miserable in Tfilos. People really don't take to heart the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really is the Melech HaKalam all year long. Not just Aseret Mitzvah, not just Rosh Hashanah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control of everything all the time. And if you ask, you don't think about giving gifts. You don't ask it, you won't give. We run through the davening without any kavanah. We don't even have the kavanah to emit l'fnei ha'melech. We don't even pay attention to the fact that the tefillah is so crucial. We barely pronounce the words properly. Shulchan Aruch says it. Shem desu to daven lech. Closing out the kavanah. May habish leg on kavanah. Usually all year long I don't say the whole davening. Even Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur I don't say the whole davening. I leave out the chunks of the pesukim of the day. I can't daven so fast. It's better to say less than to say so much not to pay attention to what one is saying. The Bala Tanya wrote in one of the letters that's printed in the end of the Tanya, there's a collection of letters that's called Igros HaKadosh. So in one of the letters he writes that he wants his chassidim, Bala Tanya is the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, he wants his chassidim to daven slowly and properly, and he thinks that the correct time, the correct length of shachar should be an hour and a half on weekdays, an hour and a half every day. And if the people have to run to work, so let the businessmen not daven for an omelet. Get a person who's retired, or get a person who's learning in yeshiva, doesn't have to run anywhere quickly, and he'll daven slowly an hour and a half, and doesn't have to run to work, we'll leave early, that's all. And he writes in the letter that was sent out to all of his Hasidim that he's going to send spies to all the communities, I don't know whether it was ever done, he's going to send spies to all the Lubavitcher community to see if they're listening to his instructions that they're spending an hour and a half on chakras. And whichever community doesn't listen, if they're going to want to come to Chadrein Bahim and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur or Yom Tovim, he won't allow them to enter the shul. He won't allow them to come because they're not davening properly. It's a little difficult today to daven an hour and a half for shakris. But half an hour shakris. You shouldn't gobble down the davening. And it doesn't make sense. We daven just the text that's written in the siddur. How can that satisfy all of one's needs? The person has other needs. What? One person has no children, one person has 9 children. So the person who has 9 children has to pray for all of the children. Each one has a different need. The person who has no children has to pray that he should have children. Some people have a lot of money. They don't know what to do with their money. So they should pray for the Rebbeinu Shlomo. Give me an insight what to do with the money. Other people don't have any money. So they have to pray, give me some money. Each one has to say something else. The text of the Tefillah of the Shemoneh Esrei is Shavu'ah L'Chol Nefesh. Everybody says the same text, but each person has to add on his own personal private Torah at the different places in the Tefillah. Most people don't add on. Most people don't pay attention to the davening because they don't really believe in this Yisrael. They don't really believe that the Baruch Shalom is really in charge of the whole world. They believe that their Hishtadlus is accomplishing what they need and what they want. They go to the doctor, they don't have the children, they go to the doctor will take care of them. They have a problem with Parnassus, and they come for this one, and they pull strings over here, and they pressure the other one, and they get their way. They think that's the way they get Parnassus. They'll cheat in business, and they'll cheat on income tax, and that's the way they'll get richer. That's not the way a person gets wealthier. We believe, as the Pasuk says, Oysa Oysha Shalod Mishpat B'chatzi Yom Av Yazrenu. That's not the way to make a Parnassus. So the Zohar is the Melech HaFol HaOlam all year long. And the only way to get what we need is to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Chachamim tell us in the Gemara, in the end of Megillah, that Ezra made many takonos. That one of the many takonos that Ezra instituted was that we should lay the Krisus Bris that appears in Parshas Kisavo soon before Rosh Hashanah. The Krisus points out that that practice is we lay it the second Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. The Shabbos immediately before Rosh Hashanah. We don't want to talk about curses, about brothers, it's one of the curses. But we finish off all the curses 2 weeks before, but this is a special takonos. We lay the Krisus Kisavo, that was the Krisus Bris at Arvis Moyav, soon before Rosh Hashanah. One of the most striking psukim there in the Krisus Bris, in the brothers part, is towards the end, where the Pasuk says, V'halachta b'drachos, you should go in the ways of Hashem. And then the Pasuk continues, V'roh kalami ha'aretz, v'shem Hashem nikro lecho, v'yorli mecha. This Pasuk, V'halachta b'drachos, is considered one of the Targad Mitzvahs, is counted by the Rambam and the Minyan Mitzvahs and the others, the other Rishonim, who gave a listing of the Mitzvahs. The mitzvah is to go in the ways of the Zohar, to imitate God. What does that mean exactly, to imitate God? Little children like to, my little children like to imitate the doctor, they imitate the Siddush Rebbe, they imitate this one, imitate the teacher, imitate their mother or the father, they make believe that there's somebody other than who they really are. It's like a game. So what, this is like a little more ridiculous. We're going to imitate the Rebbe Shalom. What do you mean imitate the Rebbe Shalom? Everybody knows that we're not the Rebbe Shalom. What kind of a foolish game is this? The answer appears in another Pasuk in Kumash, and it's very crucial to us. That's the Rosh Hashanah Dikah Pasuk, where the answer appears. Rosh Hashanah is the day on which Adam Rishon was created. It's the sixth day of creation. It was the Friday of creation to make creation. And the Pasuk says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam Rishon, he was created with Tzelem Elokim. And the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos that this idea of Tzelem Elokim is not restricted only to the Jewish people. All the nations of the world, Chavi Vodam, Shenizah B'Tzelem, every human being was created with Tzelem Elokim. The Jewish people have an added Chaviv, it's Chaviv in Yisrael, Shenikul, Bonam, Lamotim. What exactly does it mean, Tzelem Elokim? So the Pashtus is, what's exactly, Bonam, Lamotim, what's Tzelem Elokim? I think the Pashtus is, Tzelem Elokim means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created every human being with the potential, with the ability to work on his midos, to develop godly midos, to act in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Yisrael not only have the potential to work on their midos, to become Bali midos like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they have it in their blood type, they have it in their DNA, like just like children. Children always have the same midos as their parents have. The blood type that they're going to have is based on the parents. Their DNA is based on what they get when they inherit from the parents. It's built into their system. So by the name of Israel, we don't believe in Tabi al-Raza, when the baby is born, everything is blank in his mind. No, it's not so. That's by the human soil. The human soil has a cell and thing that has the potential to develop midos of the. But by doing so, we have more than that. We have one of our mokum, it's in our DNA, it's in our system, in Ruchnias, that we already have all of these meters within us. And in fact, many recite in Nusrach HaBrocha, the tefillah in the morning when we wake up, we say, L'chaim Hashem Hashem Asatudi, Tohoro, so some have the Nusrach, the Tunus course, and the Siddur, some say Tohoro Hi. Not Hashem Hashem Asatudi, Tohoro, at the time that you implanted Hashem, that the soul into my body, it was pure. No, many have the Nusrach, Tohoro Hi, it is still pure. What do you mean it's still pure? Who says that it's pure? What if the person sins, he doesn't taint his Hashem? So the answer is no, according to that text, no. He doesn't stain his Hashem. The Hashem always remains pure. So the Hashem who created the Bnei Yisrael with the, not only with a Tzelem Elokim, with the potential to develop Midas on the Tzuris, but it's built in, it's Bonim Lamotem. Like in the DNA, it's already been built in. You already have these Midas. So that's exactly the Pashtus, that's exactly the mitzvah of the Halakha of the Drop. Not that we should imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the little children imitate the doctor, you imitate the Chassidus Rebbe, they put on a shtreimel, you make believe you're somebody whom you are. No. Halakha of the Drop means we were born, we were all created with these Midas on the Tzuris. And our Kodesh Baruch Hu commands us to maintain these mitzvahs, to see to it that we don't tarnish them, to see to it that we don't destroy these mitzvahs. So eventually, in his drushes, some kasseres make through the season, he's to mention from time to time the passage that the Gemara has. We're not too sure exactly what the Agadah means, but vaguely we can understand it. The Gemara has a statement that the Malach teaches the baby before the Jewish baby is born. The Malach teaches the baby Kol HaTerutula, and then he slaps the baby on the cheek before he's born, and he forgets everything. So why did he make him forget it? That's the way she gave the whole drush. Because what's accomplished by teaching the baby Kol HaTerutula, he's going to forget everything later on. That's the way she said that he explained that teaching of the baby Kol HaTerutula before he's born, that's what accomplishes to implant within the child, every Jewish child, this natural love, this Abba HaMesuteres, towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this hidden love towards God. So then she explained that we have a minigal from Kasperia that when we go HaKofis, we take the Sifrei Torah around the Bima. He said in the name of the Vilna Gaon, an interesting minig that I never came across written up in any of the Gaon, he said he had a tradition in his family that the Vilna Gaon would be Matin from Kasperia, that when they go with HaKofis around the Bima, nobody should be standing on the Bima. Why? So the Gaon explained that whenever you have a circle, so there's always a central point, that every point on the circle is central to that. It's going around the center. When you go around with HaKofis on Simchas Torah, so what's supposed to be in the middle? So he said the name of the only Gaon, that the Baruch Shalom is supposed to be in the middle. What do you mean the Baruch Shalom is in the middle? What does that mean? So the Gaon said that this is based on the passage in the Gemara, in the end of time, that Lassi Lavoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make a Lachol HaTzadikim, will make a dance for the righteous people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be in the middle, all the Tzadikim will be dancing around him, and they'll be pointing towards the Shechinah, and they'll say, Yamar, Yamahu, and that day Lassi Lavoi, all the Tzadikim will say, Hineo Kenu Zeh, Zeh means something that you can point to, something that you can see that's visible. So that all the Tzadikim will point to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, Hineo Kenu Zeh. So reminiscent of that dance that's going to take place in Lassi Lavoi, that's what the dancing is all about on Simchas Torah. So we dance with the Sifrei Torah around the center of the circle, the center of the circle being the Shechinah. We assume as if the Ribbono Shel Olam is in the middle. And it's for that reason that the Ribbono Shel Olam is not that nobody should stand in the middle on the Bima when they're dancing around. That's what Rav Tolle Eitzchik said. I remember as a child, my father was always a Rav in the shul, so they used to auction off Atah HaRei, but they didn't auction everything off. The Rav always got the first part of Atah HaRei, so the Kohen got the Pasuk, Kohen Avi Yildiz, and they auctioned everything off. So I was the rabbi's son, I was the Yassi. So they would give me a Pasuk, they didn't want to give me one of the good Pesukim, so they always used to stick me with the most miserable Pasuk. I was always so angry. That Pasuk, V'yama V'yama Hu, V'nero Kenin Zek, Yedidon Ali, Yashin Zer, Shem Tzim, V'nis Kohen Shuas, it's all Bumam. It doesn't fit into the region. It doesn't fit into any region, unless you compose a new region. It doesn't fit into the region of Atah HaResa. So I always used to be very annoyed until I heard the story from Rav Tolle Eitzchik. He said that Pasuk is the basis of the whole HaKofis. That rule, that's so important. So he always gave me the most important part of the Yoma Bayoma Hu, that Lassi Lavoi. You're going to have a dance around the Ribbono Shel Olam. All of a sudden, people will be pointing to the center, and the Shechinah is going to be there. And that's the basis of the HaKofis on Simchas Torah. That Pasuk is the most important part. Then Rav Tolle Eitzchik added on his own, perhaps one can extend the interpretation of the minig as follows. All 7 days of Sukkot, before you get to Simchas Torah, we also do HaKofis. We do Hashanah. So we march around with the Dalamin, with the Lulav and the Yashu, we march around having a Sefer Torah in the middle. Then on Simchas Torah, we march around with the Sefer Torah, with the Shechinah in the middle. Rav Tolle Eitzchik thought that perhaps it's all a Hemshir, perhaps it's a continuum of one minig, and what it means is the following, that when you go around the edges of the circle, everything is leading towards the center. So you go around with Dalamin and representing all of the mitzvahs that we perform, all the Tayyat mitzvahs. The only way to lead to the center of the circle, to lead to success, and Liman HaTorah, all took as long as the Sefer Torah is in the middle. So the only way to succeed in Liman HaTorah is by keeping the mitzvahs. The study of Torah is a different kind of a discipline. It's not like medicine, it's not like physics, it's not like chemistry, because it doesn't make a difference what kind of person you are. The Gemara says that the person is not in the doctrine of mitzvahs, so he will not be able to succeed in certain aspects of learning, certain aspects. Yet, you know that there were people who used to smoke cigars on Yom Kippur and one Gemara. There were such individuals. So they had success in a certain area of learning, but the Gemara says full success in learning they couldn't possibly have. The only way to really succeed, believe in HaTorah, is through Shmiras HaMitzvah. So the dancing around with the Dalet, meaning around the Sefer Torah, all of Sukkot represents the idea that Shmiras HaMitzvah leads towards the center, the goal being Liman HaTorah, and this continues, this minute continues into Simchas Torah, when we dance around with the Sefer Torah, around the Shechina in the middle, that the Liman HaTorah leads us to understand what the Shechina is all about, leads us to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who will be in the middle. That's what Rabbi Lenshi taught, that that's the pshat in the Maimon Chazal and the Agadah and the Gemara, that the Malach teaches the baby Torah Terekulah before he's born, the teaching of Torah Terekulah is to implant within the child a love towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this Avo HaMesuteris towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, I don't need to explain also the Rambam quotes the passage in the Gemara, where the Gemara says in the discussions about Moshiach and the end of the Gemara Sanhedrin, the Gemara says, the accepted view is that Eng Yisrael Migolim Elevat Shuvah. The Jewish people will only have their ultimate redemption if they will do Shuvah. No Shuvah is dependent on the Tirach Hashir. It depends whether the people will decide to have to do Shuvah or not, to have a Brera, whether they want to do Shuvah. And nonetheless, the Rambam says, the Torah promises us that there will be a Gula Asidah. So how can the Torah promise that there will be a Gula Asidah if it depends on us? What if the Jewish people will never do Shuvah? So he only used to say the same answer, and it's a story for us, everything like Shuvah and Allah Shuvah. He used to say to Shah that we are all born in Lamok, and Ein Tov born in Lamok, and it is built into our system, it's in our blood type, it's in our DNA, that we have this Abba HaMesuteris towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when a Jewish person sins, it's really not his true self, it's not his true personality he's doing this. It's a pseudo personality. So it's an Ish Acher. So the natural inclination is that all of the Yisrael want to do their mitzvahs, want to keep close up on his book. So even if, let's say, a child wants to run away from the parents, some children are advised, they want to run away, they can run away from today until next year, it's not going to help. The leaders of the parents are in their blood, it's in their DNA. They're going to, whether they like it or not, they're going to have the leaders of the parents. So the same, even if a person wants to run away, like Yerina Hanavi wants to run away from the Banishma, it's not going to help the Banishma. You can't run away. A Jewish person can't run away from the Banishma. He has the Midas of the Kuris in his system. It's built in, like Banim Lamachim, like children, have the Midas of the parents built into their system. So that's why the Rambam can explain that even though the Gula Hasidah is contingent on Shuvah, and Shuvah is a function of Chila Kachin, so what if Bnei Yisrael will decide never to do Shuvah? So there'll never be a Gula Hasidah. So how can the Torah promise that there will be a Gula HaSidah? So the Rambam explains because the Torah promises us, and last week said in Parshas Vayema, the Shofam Shal Yisrael lasses Tshuva. The Torah says the Jewish people will have to do Tshuva. It's impossible otherwise. It's built into the system that they're close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If they're running away from their Rabbi Shalom, that can only be of a temporary nature. It's impossible for, like Yerna, it's impossible to run away from their Rabbi Shalom by the Bnei Yisrael. So the Tashbis is that we understand the first half of the Pasuk in the Tashbis that says the halach to the Zohar. It's not that the nature of the mitzvah is we should imitate the Rabbi Shalom. Imitate, it doesn't make any sense. No. It means that we are all banim lamokim, which means not just we have the potential to develop midas elokus, but we have these midas within us. They're built into our system, we're born with these midas naturally. And the Pasuk commands of us, the Torah commands of all of us, the halach to the drachah, we should maintain these midas of elokus. We should maintain this darkei Hashem that we all have. How do you translate the next Pasuk? What's the hemshich that says, "Velo kalami ha'aretz kishem Hashem nikra lecha v'yarem l'necha"? What exactly is that referring to? So the Gemara has an agadah, the Gemara has a famous explanation in Brachos in the first parashah, that Shem Hashem Nikra Lecha is referring to Tfilin. So when we wear the Tfilin Shal Rosh, you have the Shin and the Dalet and the Parshis and the Batin. So when the woman Tzolim will see that we wear Tfilin Shal Rosh, the Yarim Mecca, they'll be frightened and they'll run away. They won't give us a heart. That's why the previous Lubavitch Shereva made the whole mitzvah Tfilin. He wanted all the Jewish people should be in the Gatzik on Tfilin, more so than other mitzvahs, that we should have a Shmira, a protection. John Heights, we need a Shmira. Although we need a Shmira, he had a whole mitzvah HaTfilin by the great soldiers that they should be successful in battle. Fuck, that's based on the Gemara. The Gemara has this interpretation. But the Pashtus is that that's not the simple, that's not the Pshutus Shal Mikra. How do you translate the simple Pshat in the Pashtus? Lo, Kalami Ha'aretz, Shem HaShem Mikra Lech of Yorim Mimekro, they'll see that we're wearing Tfilin Shal Rosh and they'll be afraid of us. That doesn't seem to be the Pshutus Shal Mikra. So the Zohar Megillah is quoted as saying Pashtus Pshat. This pasuk is a continuation of the previous pasuk. We were all created to sell another kingdom even more. All the other were created to sell another kingdom. It ain't so even I considered one of my mock, and we have the Midasola fruit within us already. So the role Kalami Horus when you Yom will speak to Shem Hashem Nikro Lecho that you truly have this Tzelem Alekim, that you polished up your Tzelem Alekim. They'll speak, this is a mensh taka. He has a lekut. If you are Rumi Metro, they will learn from you Yir HaShemai. Nothing will stick and they'll run away. No, they'll learn from you how to be Yir HaShemai. The Gemara of Rocha speaks about who are the Abirei Lei, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Yechezkel. That's a hard-hearted nation. That they don't have any sensitivity at all. So the Gemara says, who is that referring to? So the Gemara says, oh, it must be referring to people like the non-Jews in a certain community. But twice a year, they used to have the Yachid Kalev, used to have all of the farmers that come into the community to learn a month before Sukkot and a month before Pesach. They had the Yachid Kalev, and none of the non-Jews would convert. Why should they convert? We have a yeshiva in the neighborhood. None of the non-Jews ever converted. Why should anybody convert? It's interesting. There's a shul in New Jersey right over the bridge that the Polish super used to listen to the drushes every Shabbos of the rabbi, and he converted. Now they don't have a Shabbos boy anymore. I had a new super. Lerol Kalama Hirish, and he kept on telling him, you sure enough? Yeah. He saw beautiful, wonderful, health-friendly people, and they're so nice to each other, and they get along. That's what the Pasuk is speaking about. We're all Kalani Hos, Kishem Hashem Nikolato. The Ulis Olam will see that you have the Selim of the King, that you act in accordance with the Halakh of Yisrael. You are Baram Lamakam, and you retain this Selim of the King. But you're in the Nekro, they found the Chayis Lan of Yerushamayim from there. They will learn Yerushamayim from you. So how come none of the people in the neighborhood ever convert? Here. Apparently, when they see the boys walking in the street, sometimes like shlumps, and sometimes when they hear the students tumbling at night, in the middle of the night, and they have water fights, in the summertime, or sometimes when some of the professors see that the students are not so medactic in Russian Nikir, well, forget about Lashon Nikir, even if they're careful about Lashon Nikir. They don't speak a proper English. They don't write a proper English. The Chazal comments on the Pasuk in Ovadia about a certain nation. The Pasuk complains about Edom, Bozei Yatamiyot. You're very despised. The Gemara says in Gittin, what does it mean, Bozei Yatamiyot? Sheilahem Lech Stavalei Lashon. They don't know how to talk and they don't know how to write. If a person doesn't know how to write properly, he doesn't know how to speak properly. And even if he doesn't speak Lashon Nikir, he doesn't dress properly. So where is it going to be? They have to see that the students in yeshiva dress decently, they speak properly, they speak correct English, they write properly, neatly, they don't cheat. They're honest in, they should see that the Jews are honest in business. Then it will be a fulfillment of the mitzvah of the role of Kalami Horse, the other mitzvah. They will learn the Rosh Hashanah. This is part of our obligation. They have an obligation to keep all of the mitzvah satara, but you keep the mitzvah satara if you're sloppy also. That's part of the mitzvah. But one of the additional mitzvahs is that we should serve as another Yishayim, because we should serve as an oral agoy. We have to go out of our way to serve as an oral agoy. We can do it by just dressing properly, speaking properly, and acting normally. And every day in Kriyat Shema we recite the pasuk Yahakres Hashem Elokecha. So the Chachamim point out in the Gemara in the Yumer, what do you mean Yahakri Shem Lavatar Hizbocha? One of the ways to Lavatar Hizbocha is to keep with other people Lavatar Hizbocha. So Yehei Shem Shemayim Nisai Bar Yadecha. If you really Lavatar Hizbocha, you want more people to Lavatar Hizbocha, not necessarily to convert, but to have respect and to Lavatar Hizbocha. So how will they Lavatar Hizbocha? So the Chachamim says, if you see a Jew who keeps the mitzvahs, and he dresses neatly, and he speaks decently, and he's honest in business, b'chule, then they'll say, oh, he's a nice religion, this is a good guy. That's a decent religion. That's the fulfillment of Yahatras Hashem Elokecha. So you shouldn't think that this is just a parent handout, or these old-fashioned stuff, to dress properly. The modern way is that you just speak whatever you want, and you dress the way you want, come as you are. It's not come as you are. The Chachamim tell us that this is the Torah tell us. This is part of our obligation as a Jew, to dress properly in order to have hashpoah on the Yom HaSoyla. In connection with this mitzvah of the halach to the zohar, sometimes it's very difficult to fulfill the halach to the zohar, to go in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How are we supposed to know what the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are? The zohar is a kel mishpat and he hides. Only know it's in the Tanakh, where the Tanakh describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Chachamim point out in the Medrash on Parshas Vayishlach, the Pasuk speaks of Yaakov Avinu So connection with Yankif, it says, Vayamek Olav Elohim, that the Shekhinah left being on top of Yankif Avinu. That's the way it sounds. If the Shekhinah was resting on Yankif Avinu, and then when the Shekhinah went away, it says, Vayamek Olav Elohim. So the Chazal comment on that Pasuk, the Pasuk is teaching us, Ha'ovoi, Hein Hein HaMerkodim, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yankif. Not only in connection with Yankif, in connection with Avram and Yitzchak as well, they were like the Merkava, like the chariot of the Shekhinah, that the Shekhinah rests on Kibayachol, so too the Shekhinah rests on these tzaddikim. The Ramban, one of his writings, discusses the possibility that this comment for Ovar, Hein Hein HaMerkava, is not only with respect to the Ovar, of Rom, Yitzchak, and Yankif, all tzaddikim, all unusual tzaddikim in all generations, we assume, reflect the Nidus of Elikus, reflect the divine needs and their style of living, and a way to fulfill the Nela, a way to fulfill the mitzvah of Halak to the Drachah, is to look at the tzaddik and to act in accordance with the way the tzaddik leads his life. So this is fine, but it raises a problem. We know that there were different drachim in Avodat Hashem, and every tzaddik has his own way. And the Stama, in most cases, we can apply Eloyeta during the Simchai. They're both valid, all the various approaches are proper approaches, very often. And you have all of the Talmidim who want to follow all of these Rabbeim. What's talk of the story with all of these people? 99% of what all the Tzaddikim can do is exactly the same. They all keep Shabbos and Kashrus and Karas and Mishpocha, and they all make Tillin every day, and they all daven, and everything is basically the same. 1% is different. 1% is different. When it comes to the Talmidim, so what's the story? The Talmidim also going to follow everything that their Rebbe, their way to fulfill the Halakha of the Drachah, the same as their Rebbe. So their Rebbe does 99% the same as every other Rebbe, every other side, but 1% is a little different. Everybody has their own style. So very often the Talmidim feel, Talmidim of any given Rebbe feel, if they're going to emphasize the 99%, and they're going to do quietly the 1%, how are you going to know that I'm above the Chosid? How are you going to know that he's a Satna, and he's a Lubavitch, and he's from Wayu, and he's from Torah, he's from Chaim Berlin? And the answer is, it's all going to be the same thing. Everyone's going to emphasize the 99%. So they emphasize, they exaggerate the 1%, but there's a difference. So does this make sense or not? So true, the Rebbeinu Shalom wanted to have his Beit Shalom. And as the Balatani quotes from the Zohar, like when Yitzchak wanted to give the blessings to Esau, he requested of him, Vaseli Matami, go hunting, get the Hena, Shechter, and prepare it. Vaseli Matami, make me a delicious meal. So the Balatani quotes from the Zohar, when you give a delicious meal, you don't just have one course in the meal, you have many courses. You have a fruit cup, and then you have great fish, and then you have soup, and then you have zucchini, I don't know, what all kinds, you have dessert, another dessert, but then you have many, many courses in a meal. So just as Yitzchak requested, I say, Matamim, give me a meal, which is according to all the various courses in the meal, variety. So to us, the Zohar, who is speaking to B'nai Yisrael, he says, also, I say, Matamim, the Rabbi Shalom appreciates variety. He would like to have variety, it gets boring if he sees all the Jews doing exactly the same thing all the time. So he's not to appreciate variety. So that's why the Rebbeinu Shalom wanted to have the institution of the Yud Ben Shvatim. There are 12 different drachim in Avodas Hashem, 12 different gates. The Pasuk in Yechezkel says, Lo'asid Lava, Yerushalayim will be surrounded with a wall, there will be 12 different gates, and whoever knows what shade he belongs to should enter Yerushalayim through that gate. And the idea behind entering Yerushalayim is that one is approaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu from a different angle. Everyone is approaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a different mahala. And all the drachim are valid, these different drachim are valid in Avodas Hashem. And then Rabban HaChumash writes at the beginning of Parshas Shoftim, Shoftim Tikulacha, Mishmatecha, every one of the Yud Beis Shvatim had to have its own Bez Magal. The Paskin for the Tzedek Shevet, the Rabban calls the Mishnah Hari, it's like that. That was the Rebbeinu Shlomo's wish for the Hakhtimah, he wanted to have. If an issue caused friction, and it was brought up to the Bez Magal, so the Bez Magal had to take a stand, and everybody had to follow, then you're no longer permitted to maintain your different drachma of Avodas Hashem. But most of the issues were not brought up to the Bez Magal, so they left it like that. The Shevet Yiskafa did the way their derech and Avodas Hashem was, the Shevet Zvulun did their derech, the Shevet Asher had their derech, and so on and so forth. Yes, so this we know that the Rebbeinu Shalom appreciates many courses in the meal, but he didn't think that he's going to have a thousand different varieties of Avodas Hashem, Bovas and Satna and Lubavitch, and Satinka and Delta, and so many, it's more than 12 drachma in Avodas Hashem. So the Tzomah, that's a little too much. The Chazal speak in different places about Kolila, the tragedy of Nazis, Turkish state terrorism. It looked like two different religions. We're now in a state that looks like there are 1,000 different religions, not just two different religions. It looks like many more than 12. It looks like many more than Yudhay Shrug. It doesn't only look like variety within Avodah Hashem, it looks like totally different religions. So Bishlein, the Talmud Chacham himself, the original Rebbe, who's an original thinker, that he wants to have a different Derech and Avodah Hashem. So that we understand. And Rosh Hashanah is the day that we celebrate, that we commemorate the creation of Adam HaRishon. We commemorate the fact that Hashem created the whole world, and it's all described in Parashat Bereishis. And Rav Soloveitchik has in one of his Svarim that Parashat Bereishis is a Parashat of Halacha, just as important as Parashat Mishpatim, and just as important as Parashat Re'en. It's chock full of Halacha. What Halacha do you learn from Bereishis? Bereishis describes where the Rav Soloveitchik created the world. Mahu Afato, we have to go, the Halacha to be dropped, we have to go in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What are the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has creativity, so we all have to have creativity. Whether has the ability to compose music or to discover something in science or to discover a cure for some disease or to work on some mathematical problems or whatever, should do that. People have to be creative like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creative. People have to be original like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is original. And people should be unique like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unique. That's what the Rabbi used to say. Hashem HaKen, Hashem HaKadosh does not mean that we believe in monotheism. One God, we believe also that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unique. As the Gemara has a lashon, Atem asistuni chasi ba'achas bo'imam, you treat me as a unique being. There's nothing else in the world that's better than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Afani ha'ase eskam chasi ba'achas bo'imam, Hashem makes the Jewish people unique, ha'am chesod ba'achas bo'imam. Because the Gemara quotes this passage, Shema Yisrael Hashem HaKen Hashem HaKadosh, in the sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a chasi ba'achas bo'imam, that he is unique. So that's also part of Mahu Afasov, Halak to the Drach of that man, if he can, man should be creative to the best of his ability, man should be original to the best of his ability, and man should act, everyone should act in a unique fashion. It doesn't mean that everyone should dress differently and everyone should speak as if everyone should go on the sugar. No. And for that reason, the Baruch Shalom is unique, and he's original and he's creative, but he doesn't do stupid things, he doesn't do foolish things, he does normal things. His creativity, his originality, his uniqueness expresses itself in the beautiful world that he made. So we should also be unique and original and creative in a reasonable fashion, not in a foolish way. So Bishleim, the Chassidish Rebbe himself, or the first Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, or the Rashba, the Rabbi Natan, whoever, the original great Goyim, who has his original opinions, and he thinks that the proper Derech HaAvodah Hashem is to not exactly to follow the Shulchan Aruch 100%. He's convinced that you've got to do a little differently, over here a little differently, over here. Okay, so that's every other Gadol has his own way to express his opinion. He's entitled sometimes to follow different sheets. It's not the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. But the Shaman is the Talmidim that he has. The Talmidim are not original thinkers. They're just, they mach anach the Rebbe. They're just imitating the Rebbe. So do they have a right to imitate these things from the Rebbe, the 1% where the Rebbe differs from the Shulchan Aruch? Let them imitate the 99%. That the Rebbe keeps Shabbos and Kashrus and Tzadik and Shabbos. Why? Do they have the right to follow the 1% also? So the Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos that there were Tanoim throughout all the generations who had different opinions from the other Tanoim. The Tana Rav Yitzchak Levi was of the opinion that it doesn't make sense that you should prohibit Natman Atara, Natman Rabbana. It doesn't make sense to prohibit cooking chicken with milk. It's Mutam and Atara, it's Mutam Rabbana. And Gemara says in his community, he was the Mar Da'asya. And for years and years, even after he passed away, they always followed his tradition, they always followed his Shita. And they used to eat them. The Kamash Rav Yitzchak Levi, how you open the Sarah Shokhala? They used to eat chicken that was cooked in milk. And the Gemara says that they were never punished, they didn't violate any other, they lived to a ripe old age. That's Talmudah. You have to follow the Pesachim of the Rebbe, even the 1% that are not shared in common with all the other, with the majority of the Chacham. Similarly, the Gemara tells the story that in the Kalmash of Rav Lezer, the Tana Rav Lezer was of the opinion that when a baby boy is born on Shabbos, and the din is that the Bismillah Zecha, the next Shabbos, they perform the Bismillah on the next Shabbos, and not only are you permitted to perform the actual milah itself on Shabbos, you're even permitted to do Makshire milah. You're permitted to violate Chil Shabbos for all the activities that lead up to the Bris Milah. So the Gemara says they used to exaggerate. In the community of Rav Lezer, whenever there would be a Bris on Shabbos, they would exaggerate. On Shabbos of the Bris, they would break off branches from a tree, one malacha, then they would make a fire, burn the branches, that's malacha number two. They would have the fire in order to melt metal, malacha number three. And then they would make a knife out of the metal, malacha number four. And then they would carry the knife in the street, malacha number five. And then they would perform the Bris Milah. Why would they do so many malachas in order to meet up to demonstrate how chavid the mitzvah of Milah is, that not only is the mitzvah Dech HaShabbos, but it's a Milah B'zmanah. Even the hachanas, even the preparations in advance, are also Dech HaShabbos. So the Mishnah says we don't pass from like Rebbe Lezer. It's the opening Mishnah Terek HaBlezer, the Milah, his opinion was not accepted. But in his community, he was a Rav, and the Balabatim followed his opinion. And even years after he passed away, he was a Mardasa, so they continued to follow his opinion. Mardasa had lived to a ripe old age. They were never punished in Hashemayim for Chilul Shabbos, because that was a pshat. That's what they followed, the Shita of their Rebbe. That's perfectly okay. However, that's on the one hand. However, on the other hand, the Mishnah tells us in 80 years, the end of the fifth period, that there was a Tana, an outstanding Tana by the name of Akavya ben Mahalalel. We don't say Rabbi Akavya ben Mahalalel, because we say Godel me Rabbi on Shmo. There's a reverend, and then there's a rabbi, and then there's a chief rabbi, and then there's Hillel. You don't say chief rabbi. Hillel means that's a greater title than rabbi. Rabbi means chief rabbi. There's Rav, and there's Rebbe, and there's Rabban, Rabbein, and then there's Hillel, Shammai. Akavya ben Mahalalel is one of the people that we don't give any titles. Rabbi, doctor, no titles, just Akavya ben Mahalalel. So this time Akavya ben Mahalalel had four issues that he disagreed with the other Tanoim. Romans and Hilchus, neither Dhamma, you are God, four issues. And they offered him the position to be the assistant chief rabbi, he shall stop postulating his four quirks. And he said, how can I compromise? That's my shita. I'm not allowed to. The people will say, I compromised my religion, it's a panarsa, I'm not allowed to. So he never got the spot to be the assistant chief rabbi. And until the day that he died, he insisted on his shita, till the day that he died. The Mishnah says, the Yom also, on the day he was about to die, he called his son over and he said, look here, son, boy. I'm going to die, and from now on, you don't follow the four sheikhs that I told you. So the son said, Dad, you changed your mind. So why don't you change your mind? No, you could have become the assistant sheikh. I never changed my mind. He said, he didn't change his mind for the day that. He said, the din is the din. But he said, I had a tradition from my rabbi, that's the din, so how can I compromise? But you live in a generation where it's me against everybody else. So told man that I'm alive, and you're living by me, and you follow all my sheikhs, that's one. After I die, you have to follow the majority of things. So he told his chassidim, the Rebbe on his deathbed, the Rebbe, not Tama Rebbe. He's such a great Rebbe, we don't call him a Rebbe. Akavya ben Mahalalel, God only Rabbi and Shmo. We just say his name. So the Rebbe himself, on his deathbed, told the chassidim they should only follow his closest chassid was his son. He told them only continue to follow the 99% of the sheikhs that I shared in common with anybody else. The four quirks that I had, that I was convinced that I was right, you're not allowed to continue to follow after I die. Why was he not allowed to follow? But if the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos that even years after Rabbi Yitzchak Lini passed, or even years after Rabbi Lezer died, the Balabat in this community still continued to follow his shita. So how come Akavya ben Mahalalel tells his son he's not allowed to follow? So the answer probably is Alpi Pashtus, that his son has learned not only by the father, he learned by the others as well. He wasn't such an ibbigigeben atonement of the father that he's going to follow everything from A to Z. Yeah, our father is going to follow what his father says. I mean, some of the things not going to follow his father anyway. So the father says, if you're not such a gishbar in the chas, if you don't follow everything, so don't follow them, you're not allowed to follow these things. The four quirks of the shita that I had, you're not permitted to follow. It's such a similar Gemara of Tzalcham also. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yechanan once told his close Talmud, the other Baba Chana had a certain shita, about Snichei Shviz, about Alir, Adin, regarding Shmita. He said that sometimes you're permitted to eat different things. He said, V'tronai echol. When you're in my presence, you can eat it. I hold the sheet, everybody disagrees with me. Shalom v'tronai, when you're not in my presence, like echol, you shouldn't eat it. Because I was outvoted, and you're not allowed to follow me. If this student, Rabbi Balachana, would have always followed everything that the Rebbe Rabbi Yechanan said, even Shalom v'tronai didn't also follow. But apparently this was a student, Rabbi Balachana, picked up a lot from Yechanan, picked up a lot from other people as well. He wasn't only a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda. He learned from others as well. So the Rebbe told them that you're not allowed to follow my unique shittas, my unique kulas, when I'm no longer around. If that's in the Eerie, and that's the Gemara. The same as the Mishnah in Eerie. The Eerie says, the Prana Yachol means cause man that I'm alive. So other find means after I die. Others learn to chat the Prana means in my presence. But whatever it means, the Rebbe told the Talmudim that you're not such Gishvar and Hasidim that you follow everything that I tell you. You don't follow all of my shittas. So therefore, cause man that I'm around, you have a right to follow all of my shittas, including those that are against the accepted opinion. But when I'm not around anymore, after I die, you're not permitted to follow my opinion. If you really have Talmidim, if you really have Chassidim, who bear this to the Psalm, and in all truth, they follow everything that their Rebbe says. So they can continue to follow everything even years after the Rebbe passes away, even though nobody else shares that opinion. But the mice, that's rarely the case. Can we, I never spoke before, can we really say that we are, that Rav Soloveitchik is a rabbi mukhok, that we got almost everything from Rav Soloveitchik? Most of, how much do we hear from Rav Soloveitchik? How much did we hear? Most of what we observe, we know from the Shulchan Aruch, from the Chai Yodin, from the Mishkan Berurah, from the Kitzur Shulchan, from Gemara, from Tarsus, from other stories. The Rishonim say like that, that the whole concept of Rav Mubarak really applies to this mindset, because the majority of our learning is from stories. We are mushpa from so many different people. Years ago, when the Torah Shabbat Rebbe was only transmitted orally, so it's possible to have a Rav Mubarak, one living person, who had a hashpah on the Talmidim, and the main hashpah was in that person. But today, the majority of the hashpah that we have is from all the strong that we need. And the Rebbe gives us a certain style, a certain approach, a certain way to look at everything, but it's not really the same concept of Rav Mubarak that used to be years ago. So the pasuk says that it's highly questionable whether people are permitted to continue following all of these unusual shittas that the Rebbe has. They're not following everything that the Rebbe said anyway. So who gives them the right to follow the things that are the quirks? Let them remain with the 99% which the Rebbe shares in common with everybody else. Let them not follow the 1% where the Rebbe differs from everybody else. But why is it that so many people do? How come the Bavos say, but that's the way we do it in Bavos, and that's the way we do it in Delos, and that's where we always do it in the Sakh, and that's where we always did it in Lubavitch? What do you mean? But you're not there by the Rebbe. The original Bava Verev is not here. The original Bava Verev is not here. This is Noch Gemach. This is an imitation of an imitation. What do you mean? So most of the time, the explanation is they're not following everything. They're following everything that the first Bava Verev did. They're not following everything. Most of what the Bava Verev said, they're not following. Only the quirks, only the unusual things. That's what it usually is. So what it usually is that the people want to stand out. People want everybody. I want everybody to know that I'm a Bava Verev. I want to know. I learned from Tarvadar. I learned from Absalom. Whatever. I am from Chaimelit. From Chaimelit, they have these the special the 1% that distinguishes them from all the other Orthodox Jews. So basically, that's really called keeping mitzvah shalom lishma. Now the Gemara speaks about learning Torah and keeping mitzvah shalom v'shmo. And Gemara says that it's not that terrible. The Yoyim Yasser Karim Torah mitzvah afilu shalom v'shmo. Gemara says not so terrible. However, then Sid points out in several of his writings that that's only by Medra Mamurim if the person is going to keep the mitzvah as he says, the way he says in the Shulchan Aruch, and is going to learn the Torah as he says, what it says. But he's going to write a new sefer. He's going to be mechadish something new. He's going to start to be mechadish a new hanhoget. He's going to found a new yeshiva. He's going to start something new. So that you already have to have lishma. You're not permitted to do new chidushim below lishma. But that's what we always say. Let's say from our group. We'll forget about it. I'm talking about bubbles because I don't know anything about bubbles. I'm talking about our group. I'm talking about the people who have a shaitis with Yeshiva University. We're all such dishvara hasidim from our salvation that we follow everything that the Rav said. It's not true. The Rav had so many chumras, we would drop dead if we would keep all of his shiur. In fact, often the Rav would say in public when he gave the shiur to the Balabak and he asked him, well, what do you think the din is in such cases? He said, it's better for you, you shouldn't have. There's a Mr. Fregel, he said. Because he knew that they wouldn't say that. When he said cheerful things, he didn't say it in the Hechatechism. He knew that there was a shot that they're going to follow. So the mice, to whom are we fooling? We know that we don't follow everything that the Bava Verev, the Rebbe, and the Rasholeish. You know, we don't follow everything that Rasholeish said anyway. So what do we only go out of our way to do the funny hanhagas, the unusual things that Rasholeish did? What are we doing that for? To stand out. You know, that it should be bold. Oh, I learned by the road. I learned from the senior university. That's our mahalo. I want to emphasize the difference that I have, the 1% difference. That we have different 99%, 99.99% everything is the same. The Zelda Shabbos and Kashrus and Tarot and Stroke, there's 0.01% maybe, that's different. So we emphasize the 0.01% and maybe 1%, whatever it happens to be. We emphasize that for what purpose? Just in order that it should be bolded. That's Mamish doing a Bachidish Shalom Shmo. Is that terrible? Doing a Bachidish Shalom Shmo is a terrible thing. Remember once there was an MCSY regional in the middle of school. So one of the kids got up, he's going to count Spheres. And I had never been to different regionals, never went to Spheres. The kid gets up and he says the bracha, and then he says, "Tzir Shayim Hayom Asar Yom Ibayim Hayom Asar Yom Ibayim." Two times that loud. So he was crazy. Rabbi got it from Rav Soloveitchik. Well, this guy never heard of Rav Soloveitchik. He heard, they talked so much about Rav Soloveitchik, he heard the name. Rav Soloveitchik used to have this hanhavi, that there are two opinions, which is the more correct way to count Tzir. What do you say? Lo Omer, Abo Omer. So he used to say twice. He used to say the bracha, and he used to say once Hayom Yamecha Boim, Hayom Yamecha Loim. So you can deal with that, but it does make sense, They write that the disciple that has the same hanhavi. He would count twice, and someone tied it to him, and it's not his job, and he said, no, my way is that, just count twice. All right, so that's what he did. He didn't have hundreds of people listening when he counted. He had a million, 25 people were listening. In NTSY, the person is not a Talmud of Rav. You heard the name of Rav, they keep on hacking about Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik gave him a lot of the guidelines how to run the organization. But the students were not talking about Rav Soloveitchik. What are they hacking there that they should follow Rav Soloveitchik? So I told the head of that group, I don't think it's right. You want to mainstream these people. They're going to go to a normal yeshiva. They're going to look at them like they have horns on. who else does like this? Disciple that goes to Rav Soloveitchik? Two of them in the whole world. If they're going to stick to Rav Soloveitchik, she all right, man, they let them do it, but they're not going to go like that. It doesn't make sense. Rav Soloveitchik had a practice that on Rosh Hashanah, instead of blowing shofar the way all the Orthodox Jews blow shofar, the root, three shvarim, he used to blow five very short shvarim. And he gave a whole explanation. As a child, he gave a whole explanation, and it was such a good Einfall, his grandfather liked it, and Rav Chaim Soloveitchik introduced it in his little name. The Rav Soloveitchik always did like that, and Boston did like that. There were some years that here in Yeshiva he also did it, but in the last 25 years, we don't do it anymore. Years ago, there was hardly anybody here in Yeshiva Rosh Hashanah. They had a small minion, some hesitation. So one year Rabbi Grunskibble was the Baltikare, one year Rabbi Goldstein was Baltikare. So people are learned by their rod, and there's a small island. So they have a taste to see both the kids like the rod. But now, so many people, well, it doesn't make sense to start such a hanhagi, to observe such a hanhagi in such a crowd. It's not for public consumption, it's a private hanhagi. So they told me that there was one of the shuls in the neighboring area where they had such a practice for many years. The shul was founded many years ago by one of the Musmachim of the Yeshivas, very close to Rav Soloveitchik. And they introduced that they had five shuls. And this Rosh Hashanah, they decided to do away with it. I want to give the rabbi a shekel. I think it's the right thing. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, you don't do a davar tamua, you don't give a psak tamua, you don't do something strange in public. If you have a small group of balabatim, you have to pay for it. You can explain to them, and they're your balabatim, they're your talmidim, so they follow your sheet, they follow your rebbe sheet to find. But if you have the shul where they changed, became so big that they had experience. It's bursting at the seams. They have hundreds and hundreds of people. It's not just a little shulchan that it used to be. It's a gigantic, it's a tremendous space of nurses now. So if that can make sense to stop this hanhavi. So Rashid had many different hanhavis. I published the sefer several years ago, and so Rashid passed away from the first year. I published the sefer, including many hanhavis about so Rashid. I didn't realize that it's going to cause a tilkul. Now there are people, they say, take my sefer, this is the Bible, which is more important than the Shulchan Aruch. I've got to follow the sefer. Whatever Rabbi Soloveitchik did, they have to do. Why? Why do they have to do it? I wrote in the introduction to the sefer that many of these hanhagas were personal hanhagas. Even the Baal Trinity, Rabbi Soloveitchik didn't say in the Sinai Turkey. On Rosh Hashanah, when they blew shofar. When Rosh Hashanah called on Shabbos, and there's no tzir shofar, there's no problem of hesed, so he would say in the Sinai Turkey. When Rosh Hashanah called on a weekday, and there's an issue of hesed, to his tradition, from his father, from his grandfather, he wouldn't say in the Sinai, he wouldn't say any of the Jews, only one Jew he said. But the Baal Tefillin and Shul did say in the Sinai, all the people in his shul did say in the Sinai Tefillin. This is a personal family hanhoga that he had. When people would ask him, he would say, yeah, of course he should say in the Sinai Tefillin. It's his personal hanhoga. People would ask him different things. He wouldn't wear tefillin on a Talmud. People would ask him, what should they do? Tell it up. You follow your family tradition. I follow my tradition. You follow your tradition. This is his tradition. Many of the hanhogas that he had were personal hanhogas. Many of the hanhogas that he had were hanhogas that he introduced for the kohol, for the shul, to his little shul. It wasn't intended for a big shul. The marshal went out to Rashid's thing and he used to blow shofar in the Shmoyne Esminet Tzila Balacha Shofar. That's how his grandfather did. So the Rav said, his grandfather at time blew his penis in the Tzila Shmoyne Esminet, not in the big shul of this. He had a private minion, a small minion with 35 people. He blew shofar. But if you have a big shul, then it's a B'nai D'Halalim, it'll be pandemonium. It's not Shayach. And he told us to do the Rabbanan. If you have a small shul, and you can explain to the Balabatim what's going on, so then it makes sense to introduce. You probably can't explain even in a small shul. But a big shul, that's like parking a Dovah Tamur L'Rabbi. You think the Shulchan Aruch, you don't do such a thing. Some of the Hanhodis, some of the things after Rashi said, he would say to Zer Eli Kaddish, he would say, this is my opinion, this is my Shita, and I think this is the correct way to do it, I think that it's wrong the way other people do. Okay. So then those who want to follow Rasa Oration, they have to face it. But Rasa Oration had some personal private Hanhogi, or he had a Hanhogi for his small community, he never intended that it should be followed by other people. The Gemara speaks in Gemara Chulin. The Gemara mentions there was one of the Hakamim who said that he doesn't really have the same degree of Yirah Shamayim that his father had. He said, in comparison to my father, I am like vinegar as opposed to wine. The wine spoils and it becomes vinegar. So my father was like wine, and I'm like vinegar. I'm like chala on the gabi chama. Chala in Aramaic is vinegar, and chamra is wine. He says, my father is such a pious man, when he's flesh, he waits 24 hours before he has any milk. So he says, I don't wait so long. I just wait from one meal to the other. That's what we wait 6 hours. He waits a little bit, and that's what he doesn't wait so long. So the Bali Musa comment on Abdul Mawr, what was so difficult? He knows that his father waited 24 hours. He's also prominent on Mawr. You want to speak. It's not some Pasha de Balabal. He's also prominent on Mawr. So why didn't he talk away 24 hours? He knows that his father had the practice. So the answer is, Bali Musa said, he knew that he wasn't on that Madrega Yira Shamayim, that his father had. It didn't fit into him. A lot of these Hanhogas are personal, private Hanhogas that fit in for the Orem Gadol, this original thinker. It just simply doesn't fit in for the followers. Many times the followers of Hasidim want to travel all of these unusual Hanhogas, the 1% of the Hanhogas that are different from everybody else is just for shtick. Just for shtick, in order to look different from everybody else. They should know that I'm from Bavar, and that's the way we do Bavar, it's very explicit. The first Bavar is Rebbe, may I have to face it. The have to face it. But the others follow the 99%. You're not following 100% anyway. So follow the 99%, that's normal. Why did you take on this? That's Mamishal Olishma. So Rachel Ganema once told us a comment. He told a true story that was once a rabbi in the community announced in shul, Yom Tov was going to be on Sunday, Monday. So he announced the Shabbat before, everybody should remember to make an Erev Tashlum arrangement. An Erev Tashlum you make when Yom Tov falls out on Friday, you should be allowed to cook on Friday for Shabbat. But if Yom Tov falls out on Sunday, what are you going to cook on Shabbat for Sunday? You can't. So there is no Erev Tashlum. So the rabbi made a mistake, he took out. Privately after the Dominic to the rabbi, and he whispered in his ear, Rabbi, but Yom Tov is not on Sunday. You only make an Erev Tashlum when Yom Tov is on Sunday. So the rabbi realized that he fell and he made a terrible mistake, but he was embarrassed to tell the shaman that he made a mistake and to go make an announcement. So he said, go in Shita. There's only Goyen Shita. There's only Goyen, you can pin anything on an only Goyen. So Rav Soloveitchik told us that this is a true story. He said, that has happened now to Rav Soloveitchik. His joke, his true story, that happened now to Rav Soloveitchik. Whenever anyone wants to do anything crazy, anything bizarre, and it's an orthodox story, they say, Rav Shita, Rav Shita. Sometimes it was Rav Shita. What does it have to do with you? You don't follow 100% what the Rav says. You have no right to follow like a Tavid ben Malal told his son. After I die, you follow the 99%. You don't follow the 1% of the shittas that I have. And very often, it's not even that it was the Rav shita. It's what this person thinks the Rav would have said. What the Rav would have said if he would have been consulted. They have Rav HaKadosh. They know what the Rav would have said if he would have been consulted. The Rav would have said, what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, what do you think the Rav used to say? What do you think the Rav got all the ideas from the Gemara? The same one that everybody else learned. Once in a while, he had a different interpretation based on the posting, so he would come up with a different opinion. But 99% of the time, everything was the same as everybody else. Very often, what you really have is, like the Chazal comment about the Chet HaEgel, but of the Yisrael HaEgel, Ela Kedem Ahaka Lahem Bul Meshol HaRayim. The Jewish people had a desire to violate Gilei HaRayim. How can you violate Gilei HaRayim? It's against the laws of the Torah. It says in the Chumash, Lo Yitzinah. It says in the Aseret HaDibur. They were already given Aseret HaDibur.
But he developed a whole new hashtoka, a different religion. We believe in the Egel Azot, a different Shita, Goyim Shita, and therefore we can do whatever we want. So very often that's the case. People have, as the Gemara calls the process, matlo yagidlo. People are interested in leading an easy life. They want to be mekel on things. But the Orthodox people, they're going to have them. How can you be mekel? It's against the din. So you'll throw in a couple of chumash and say, we're talmidim of the Rav. We follow the Rav Shita. The Rav has a different opinion. So just like we follow the two chumash, the Rabbi Soloveitchik, Rabbi Soloveitchik had millions of chumash. That would be impossible to survive with all the chumash. So just like that, people don't know about their luck, and you don't know about that. So people follow a couple of chumash and say, we talmidim of the Rav. So the Mele, they follow all of the chumash. It's really a contradiction. People are not consistent. Like Rabbi Schwab, the final Rosh from the neighborhood, always used to have a famous comment that everybody says over. By the Yek is the only way 3 hours between Fleishik and Moses, they don't wait 6 hours. But on Erev Yom Kippur, the Yek is saying Slichas for 2 hours. Everybody else only says Slichas for 20 minutes on Erev Yom Kippur. The Tumen Hagam I mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch. Rabbi Schwab always used to say, that's what they told me, he said, if you wait 3 hours, then you have to say the wrong Slichas on Erev Yom Kippur. You can't have it both ways. That's what we have today. You have people that are following what the Rav said. Yeah, the big Hasidim and the Rav. They follow everything the Rav said. Of course not. They only follow the Chumash from the Rav. They follow, they throw in a couple of Chumash that it should look legitimate. But it's only a Chumash on the Vilay Day Kula. That's a disaster. But Mamish and all Mishma. So Leishik, when he gave the shiur, he used to be very original. He used to be a big Balma Chagish. But not everything that he said in the shiur was intended on Allah HaMaisa. It happens that he gave shiurim more so than other Rosh Yeshiva. Other Rosh Yeshiva give on Nashim and Ezekiel. So usually it's not going to get Allah HaMaisa. So Leishik not only gave shiurim on Nashim and Ezekiel and Kachim and everything else, he used to give also on Moed, on Brochere. We used to discuss topics which were relevant to Allah HaMaisa. So a lot of people would walk away and they would say, oh, Rabbi Soloveitchik said X, Y, Z. Abadi, he said that's the Rambam. He didn't say we follow the Rambam. He said that's the Rashbo. He said that's what one Morgan Avraham says, but he didn't say we fast like that. You cannot take things out of context. Most of the time, Rabbi Soloveitchik was very traditional. Adirada, many of the Shinuyim that he introduced into the Minhagim were Shinuyim reverting back to old Minhagim. He wanted to retain, he wanted to preserve all the Minhagim. For example, on Yom Kippur. It says in the Shulchan Aruch that on Yom Kippur you're supposed to have two people stand next to the chazan because it's a time of tzibur, and we learn from the pasuk in Chumash that on the time of tzibur it's not sufficient just with one shliach tzibur, you have to have three bali tzibur. You have to have one to the right and one to the left of the chazan. So the Mechaber writes like that, you're supposed to have two people next to the chazan by Meiris and by Shachris and by Musis and by Mincha and by Neva, the whole Yom Kippur. The Magen Avraham says that we no longer follow this practice. Magen Avraham is written over 100 years after the Shulchan Aruch. They write, we don't have this practice anymore. We just have the three people together for Kol Nidre. That's how Talmud does. And then from the Ila, unique Tila Satinus, Shachris, Myrus, and Shachris, and Musris, and Mincha, that you daven every day, every Yontif, every Shabbos, you daven Musris. The Ila is the only prayer that's unique to Tainus Sibyl. So Nila, you should have to have two people standing next to the Chazan. So the Magen Avraham says, well, we always have to. Usually we leave open the Yom Kodesh for Nila. And everybody's standing, so there are always two people next to the Chazan. So the Magen Avraham says, we don't follow this practice that the Mechaber says. So Rav Soloveitchik changed the minute. Yeah, he changed it to go back to the old minute. He insisted we should retain the old minute, to go back to the Mechaber's comment. Or Slichas on Yom Kippur. The old minute always was. Like the Gaonim, like the Rishonim say, that Yom Kippur was the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu the secret of the Yud Gimel Minas Hashem Hashem Kel Rach Yechanon. So it's for that reason that we build up to Yom Kippur by saying Slichas every day, by mentioning the Yud Gimel Minas. And then on Yom Kippur proper, in the Chazoras HaShas, in the Chazor Repeat to Shemon Esrei, we recite the Yud Gimel Minas several times. And there are different opinions in the different Minhagim among the Gaonim and the Rishonim, how many times we say Yud Gimel Minas in each one of the Tfilas. So most of the machzorim, most of the popularly used machzorim today, all of the slichas are missing from most of the tefillahs on Yom Kippur. You only have by Meiris, you have a lot of slichas. There's no chazoras hashas, but after the Shemon Esrei, you have a lot of slichas. You said you'd given me this several times. And by Meila, you have a lot of slichas written in the machzor. And by Shachris, and by Musis, and by Mincha, the printers delete it. You get the same money, and they give you less for your money. So the Ocha Shulchan complains about this. He says, the printers left it out. Nobody gave them permission. It's not right. Who ever heard of leaving out Slichas in the middle of the garden? The Rav Soloveitchik changed the meaning. What did he change? He changed it back to what it used to be. He said, like the Ocha Shulchan says, you have to observe the old Minhagim that the Rishonim did. You have to know when an Adam God was interested in changing the meaning, he changed the meaning to go Kadima, to go forward, to change it, because we live in different times, different circumstances. So the meaning has to go in a different direction. Going forward or no, maybe the proper way to change the minig is to go backwards, to fall back to what the minig always used to be. Maybe the practice, maybe the minig that we have is improper, you have to go back to the previous minig. Sometimes our Soloveitchik pointed out, even a great Talmud Chacham who is fully convinced that his opinion is correct, that a certain practice should be changed, not the halacha is not correct, you have to do it a different way, sometimes the Talmud Chacham should have the humility to realize that he may be making a mistake. Sometimes he should give in, even if he's fully convinced logically that things should be changed, sometimes he should not change it. And so Leishi was fond of pointing out the Rambam in Hilchos Shmita the Yovel, where the Rambam quotes the Gemara in the end of Erechim, that during the last few years during the Bais Rishon, although the laws of Yovel were no longer observed because you didn't have Kol Yashvel, you didn't have all of the Yidbei Shvatim living in Eretz Yisrael, they were supposed to, some of the Shvatim, some of the tribes had already gotten to Golus, so the laws of Yovel were not observed, but nonetheless the Desna was counting Yovel as a blank year in order to push off the next Shmita. We observe Shmita every 70 years, so you have 7 times, 49 years, then the 50th year is a blank year, then you start counting again 7. You go units of 50. So the Gemara states that even though the last few years of the period of the Bais Rishon Yovel was not observed, because you didn't have Kol Yashvel there, but the year of the Yovel was counted as a blank year. So the Rambam writes, he thinks the same should apply to Zman Hazeh. After the destruction of the Second Temple, none of the Shvatim are in Eretz Yisrael. Nobody knows which shade it belongs where. And now we have a lot of Jews in Eretz Yisrael, but nobody knows it belongs where. So the laws of Yovel are not observed at all today. But nonetheless, the Rambam thinks that we should really count the Yovel, the 50th year, as a blank year in order to push off the next Shmita. And then the Rambam says, but we don't do that. We just count 7 every 7th year of Shmita. But that doesn't make sense. So the Rambam says, well, what can I do? I have been outvoted. The Rabbanim who lives in Eretz Yisrael, the Gonim who lives in Eretz Yisrael, he used to observe Shmita. The Rambam lived outside of Eretz Yisrael, lived in Egypt. So he says, the Talmid Chacham who lives in Eretz Yisrael, who observed the laws of Shemitah, that was the practice that they had. So the Rambam writes that the Kabbalah, the tradition, and the Minhag is an Iker Gadol, it's a fundamental, crucial point in determining what the din is. In other words, the Rambam gives it, he says, even though logically it absolutely doesn't make any sense at all to him, he says we have to follow the tradition. And it's interesting, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, the Raiva disagrees with him. The Raiva says that he thinks the Rambam is right, we should follow the Rambam. The Rav Soloveitchik says, to the best of his recollection, this is the only place where the Rambam says you should pass, and the Rambam passes against the Rambam. And the Rambam is not, he says, no, you should pass them like the Rambam. Usually, the Rambam disagrees, says, the Rambam is wrong, don't follow this man. Here, the Rambam says, don't follow my opinion, I give in. And the Rambam says, no, the man is right, you have to follow the Rambam. But we should keep this in mind, Rav Soloveitchik said, even if the Talmud Chacham is so convinced that the general practice is incorrect, he shouldn't always change everything. A lot of times, the minhag should be there. You have to realize that the modern man tends to be more arrogant based on all the technological advances, and a shaila comes up, so right away people go to the computer, the Bari Lash HaShuvah's computer, they scan through all the literature and shaila, they know what everybody has to say, and therefore they feel they're entitled to an opinion. They look at all the kids, so yeah, we have now more svarim than anybody ever had, every year, another Rishon, another Ksaviyah, another Poetic, so we have access to more than anybody ever had. The modern man has an attitude, has a certain sense, he's more arrogant than other people. So you should be a little more careful, shouldn't rush so much to change the Pesach Halacha. Remember, there was a community in a metropolitan area where one of them was smoking from the yeshiva, was the rabbi, and he had several of his balabatim were smoking from the yeshiva. One of them was smoking, who was davening near the shul, was a big chassid of the rabbi. So he always davened up some righteousness. So even when he was davening for no, wrong davening also eventually says, and it rubbed the balabatim the wrong way. The balabatim didn't understand. Why doesn't he daven what he said? And he said, how come all the words are different and the order says this and that? Everything is different. So the rabbi in the shul used to ask this Talmud Chacham, who davened there, when he's davening in shul, he's davening privately, he's davening the rabbi, but when he's davening, he's Yiddish Shliach Tzibah, he's davening the shul's mitzvah. So the rabbi in the shul told the balabatim, but they tell us that Chaim Olajina, that even though he said that he's convinced that the nusach of the tefillah of the Dolma Goyim is more correct than that all the other nusachos, but still in the yeshiva and balajin yeshiva he would daven the Goyim's nusach. Privately, when he was daven by Balabas, he was daven the Goyim's nusach. But if you have your side, when he was daven for a number, he will not daven the Goyim's nusach. He would daven whatever the nusach of the shul is. That's halacha. You have to daven the nusach of Hashem. You're not permitted to be mishan. So this Heverman told the rabbi, yeah, but I'm more convinced that the Rav's nusach is correct, and at time Balazhin was convinced that the Dolma Goyim's nusach is correct. Look, he's more convinced that he is more convinced that the Rav's nusach is correct, than at time Balazhin was convinced that the Dolma Goyim's nusach is correct. But man is a joke, a little worse than a joke. The Chachamim tell us, commenting, the Gemara in Zoyta comments on the Pasuk in Mishlei, that says, Kineh mitzvah v'torah or, that when you fulfill a mitzvah, that's like a candle. But when you learn Torah, it's like a torch. A candle gives a little illumination, and it doesn't last too long. It lasts a couple of hours, then it's going to go out. A torch gives much more illumination, and it's going to last longer. So the Gemara says, whenever you fulfill any mitzvah, it gives a little illumination. It'll clear you up, you'll know what's right and what's wrong. But it's not going to last too long, and it's not going to give that much of an illumination. The person learns Torah, so then he has much more illumination. So many people think they just came to the yeshiva. They just started to read some new sefer came out, has Rav Soloveitchik, just put out a new sefer, the S.O.Y. seller, has Rav Soloveitchik, Nusach HaTefillah, sure, they're going to introduce the national, everybody knows everything. He already knows Kama Tarakula because the learning Torah gives such illumination. So the Medrash comments on another passage, Nele Radli Devarecha Behor V'Nisivosti. It says, when I learn your Torah, that's like a candle, a light onto my feet. Nele Radli Devarecha, the word Nele means like a candle. How come this passage says that learning Torah is like a candle, but the other passage says that keeping mitzvahs is like a candle? Learning Torah is like a torch. It gives much more illumination. It's the hastir between the two psukim. Does learning Torah give only a little illumination, the same as other mitzvahs, like kiner mitzvah, or is Torah or? Learning Torah is like a torch. So the Medrash asks the question, gives a simple Torah. When the Bacha comes to the yeshiva the first day, the first year, the first couple of years, the learning of Torah is only like a candle. It doesn't become a torch till he's learned for many, many years. The letter says, yes, when he starts to learn, he'll learn a little bit, then call us short and start in the front of, another gate will open up, another gate of understanding, till he'll understand so much Torah, then he'll start to have a tremendous illumination. But the Barbe Rav, the Chad Yomer, the fellow just comes into the yeshiva, he learns a couple of years, and thinks that he knows Kala Tarakul already. He knows already better than Rav Chaim Volozhin knew about the Dolma Goyim, he knows about Rav Soloveitchik. Mamish, blasphemy. Those who remember Rav Soloveitchik will recall that he had a very keen sense of humor. It's interesting, all of the Hasidim that were delivered after he passed away, I think the only one who dwelled on this topic was his son-in-law, Abaron Lichtenstein, the printed Hasid. But it's clear, in the middle of the middle of Shir, he would joke around Kibbutz Lot, in front of the show, and in public lectures he would give. And privately, he would have a very keen sense of humor. So many people took this, many people who knew Rav Soloveitchik and saw the way he would joke around, would take this as the Rav Shita. So you don't have to be so serious. There's nothing that's worth being so serious about. You can be very casual, very calm, and be very cool, and be orthodox also. You can be a Talmud Chacham also, and laugh at everyone. Well, so Rav used to joke sometimes about things that others had overemphasized in Halacha, in Hogan, overemphasized and made too holy. And sometimes he would kibbutz about that in order to tone things down, to put everything at the proper perspective. He's going to exaggerate one part of the religion over the other, so then he's distorting the religion. He would often laugh at things, but he didn't laugh at everything. Many of the communities now have Erevim. So in Erev there is a cloud. Halacha d'Rameko b'Erev. Whenever there's a legitimate machlokes, you have a right to be maker. But it doesn't mean that anything and everything goes. You don't have to have anything, as long as there's any sheet in the world. That's a little ridiculous. Sometimes we're going to ask them to look over the area in their community, but sometimes we go with a group of balabatim. So sometimes when I point at them, this is a problem, that's a problem. So sometimes the balabatim feel terrible. I mean, they've been carrying, and there's so many major possible holes that it's no good for them. I want to feel very dear. So I tell them, well, there are different opinions. Such an opinion says that it is good, and most hold it's no good. And I'll spend some time. My personal opinion, I feel that it's no good. So then I've always said, well, as long as there's one sheet that it's okay.
All right, okay, so we're not going to say that you fall apart and you're going to burn a Gehenna because you were Mechal Shabbos, but fix it. No, as long as there's one sheep in it, it's okay. I'm not going to do my mitzvah. Believe it the way it is, okay. So often I'll notice, quite a few times I noticed, the Baal HaBatim were more serious about the issue of the Erev than the Rabbanim. The Rabbanim take it that the whole Erev is a matter of a joke. Shemira Shabbos is a joke. Making an Erev, you have in any given Erev, you have hundreds of poles. All you need is one pole should be off kilter. You can't just carry around that. Not only are you prohibited to carry near that pole, you can't carry in the whole Erev. The whole thing is under. All you need is one pole on the Shtegel. The whole Erev is no good. It's not a joke. There are so many different kashrus endorsements these days. So many, many people have the attitude, well, the whole thing is all politics. They're all good, everything is kosher, anything that has a hashgacha, everything is kosher. It's just a matter of politics with them. They want their money, they want their money. It's not true. I do work for the OU in kashrus. There's a lot of politics also. But there's a lot more that's not politics. There's a lot that's absolutely halachic issue. They're very serious halachic issues. Kashrus is not a joke. Did anything go then? But the evidence, what Hakilim is this and that. It's not a joke. It's a very serious affair. You cannot rely on any and every hashgacha. You have to check to find out what their standards are. Many hashgachas are acceptable, but many are not acceptable. I see by many observant Jews, by many bnei yeshivas, people who are learned in yeshiva, that's clear from yeshiva. When it comes Shabbos, and they dress nicely Shabbos morning, come Shabbos afternoon, they're ready to relax. No tie, no jacket, walking around, come to shul, the dam, like a weekday. What, Shabbos afternoon, and hapi kabbalah, Shabbos morning, Shabbos, something different. But the kabbalah term don't say that you don't have to wear big day Shabbos on Shabbos afternoon. Big day Shabbos, the whole Shabbos long. There's a serious din. We have to have serious attire on Shabbos. It's a special halacha. People are thinking for davening also. The Gemara has this din. Giko, mikra, some kefis, when you're going to daven, you have to dress up specially. You have to put on ashtraim over there. Without garter, without this, without that, but you have to wear something more than you would normally wear. All day long you dress like this. You have to wear something special to cover the tefillah. Yigdei Shabbos is also a special day. And at least in the rabbinic conference, Rabbi Willard was telling over the story that one summer, after Rosh Hashanah, his wife passed away, he didn't go to Anzer anymore. He used to stay in Brookline. And the boys would come in the middle of the summer and he gave shiurim there in the yeshiva. So some of the Baal HaBatim who had a chance to come on Shabbos afternoon would also come to the Shia. So one Shabbos afternoon, it was very, very hot. It was so terribly hot. So one of the Baal HaBatim walked from the other end of the city to come to the Yeshiva, to daven in the Yeshiva in the morning. Then he left his jacket there in the Yeshiva and he was going to walk home without his jacket. And he's going to come back Shabbos afternoon in order to come attend Rav Soloveitchik Shia. So Rav Soloveitchik noticed that he was walking home without his jacket. It was 99 degrees. Notice he's walking home without his jacket on Shabbos morning. So he says, what are you doing? So he explains. He only needs a jacket for davening. He's going to leave it here, but he's going to come back later to hear the shiur. So he's going to wear the jacket for mincha. So then she said, no, Shabbos is Shabbos. You have to wear a jacket when you walk in the street on Shabbos. Just because it's 99 degrees outside, so davening the shul closer to your home. If you had a shul closer to his home, he wouldn't have to walk half an hour. He can walk 5 minutes during the shul. But he specially came to that shul in order to daven with the Rav, in order to hear the shiur. So Rav Soloveitchik said, better to daven in your own shul and not to hear the shiur and to wear Bigdei Shabbos. Bigdei Shabbos is a serious thing. You cannot assume that we can be informal about everything and it's just as good as being formal. There are certain halachas where formality is required. The same is true regarding a chasm by the chasm. Recently at weddings I see a nayishtik. The chasm kneels down on the floor in the middle of Eishes Chayil and he starts serenading to the kallah. What's he kneeling down on the floor? Who should go in? Shtik. You have bat chonim in a wedding. The guests are supposed to do bat chonim. Not the chasm. Or the chasm, let's say, the chasm they put on a clown cap or they dress him up. The guests are supposed to dress up like bat chonim. They're supposed to entertain. But not the chasm should dress up. So Leitchik once told the Chassan, different people, some people are serious when they come to the Kukka, they want to wear a hat. Other people are serious, they even wear clothes with the yams or whatever. So one Chassan from the Yeshiva community here, wasn't the Talmud here, but he used to come visit a lot. So he was going to wear a hat to his wedding. So he asked, so Leitchik said he wouldn't be able to attend his wedding. So he asked Rav Soloveitchik, is there anything that I should be medactic about? So the one and only thing that he told him to be medactic was that where it calls him on that you're in public, the Shiva Sim Mishnah, when you're in public, if your practice is that you dress formally with a jacket, with a hat, with a tie, you have to maintain that dress the whole Shiva Sim Mishnah in public, because the Chosin is going to the Melech.
person has to maintain his dignity. A lot of marriage is a lot of fun. But if a person starts off with that attitude, marriage is going to be a lot of fun with no dignity, then we're not so convinced that that marriage is going to be a lasting marriage. We once had one of the, I remember whether it was a dean or a vice president, who was engaged here in Yeshiva. And when the person gave their inaugural address, when they were inaugurating them, so this person said that they're from a different university. Well, I think the person wasn't so orthodox, I'm not sure about the whole background. So this person said, this person wants to introduce him to the yeshiva, some fun in the faculty, and it rubbed me the wrong way, and I had to drop that person. It just didn't work out. The person was in for a few years, and it didn't work out. You cannot go with the attitude, everything is fun, we're going to have a good time, everything could be informal. There are some times when the Torah requires that you need formality and you need dignity. And it's not that everything is a joke. The last couple of weddings I attended, when it comes to the badekin, so the chassan comes up to the kallah and starts dancing with kibbutzim around and giving her a rose and they're talking into her ear, and he didn't do the badekin. So the photographer had to tell him, young man, take the veil and cover the daughter, they forgot what the badekin was all about. They thought the badekin was also part of the batonis, also part of the joke. The batonis is supposed to be made by the guest, not by the chassan. The chassan should be a little more serious at his own wedding. Of course, we're interested in having Simchas Achayim. Tachas Hashem Abaratas Hashem Lakech of Simchas Tu Leib and Miracle. Simchas Achayim is a wonderful thing. It's very positive. But Simchas Achayim doesn't necessarily equal fun. Fun has a negative connotation to it. Just a few weeks ago, I attended a wedding. One of the boys in Yeshiva, Orthodox, more than Orthodox, but then Yeshiva, more than a Ben Yeshiva, from the Bnei Ali and Yeshiva. In the middle of the dancing, I started dancing a lot, I was sitting next to some of the other Rabbanim, and one of the Rabbanim says, you know, I don't believe it, what are they playing this? I said, I don't know, what's going on? I started going like this, and I'm done. He tells me, that's the Macarena. I said, what's Macarena? He tells me, Macarena is a song about a Mexican prostitute. I said, what are they playing at the wedding pool? So the Lubavitcher Rebbe came to the rescue. Apparently someone told the band to stop. So they started playing, what is it? Shalom Aleichem, Melech HaMashiach, how do we know? The Lubavitcher Rebbe rescued us from the Makarem. So this rabbi tells me that that morning, this Sunday morning, he had attended the Bar Mitzvah, and they started playing this Makarem in the middle of the Bar Mitzvah. Shomu Shamayim. And they told me it's not only Yeshiva University, this boy is my Yeshiva. They told me it's about how good it's circle, about everybody. They're all playing this Macarena. It doesn't mean anything. Everything is a joke. The dancing with the dress, everything is a joke in life. Some things have to be taken seriously. It's scandalous. One of the boys just came back from Eretz Yisrael. One of the boys was running in Goose for a year. So he tells me, oh, he has a letter for me from somebody I haven't seen. He gives me the letter. I haven't seen this person in many years. He moved away from the United States. He's an Orthodox Jew. And he had a little bitterness about all the Orthodox hangouts. So many pages about different things, but especially about naming children. This couple had a son and a daughter. So a lot of times you have a baby, and this brother wants this name, and she wants the other name, and you're fighting, so you make a compromise, and then they don't talk to them anymore. Why they named it this name? So he decided none of this belonged to him. He tells me, years ago, he tells me he named it. I already forgot about this person, but I got this letter just a month ago. So he writes me about his daughter, Yizhuta Talia, she's attending such and such university. And then when the baby was born, he told me he named the baby Yizhuta Talia. Who was Atalia? Atalia is a biblical figure. She was a murderer in Satan Malachim. She's going to kill that all the market they saw except for one. So he named the daughter Atalia. Who is Yizhut? He told me Yizhut. I'm not but when it's named Haram, I'm not up on all the lineage. And he tells me that Yizhut was a French adulterer, the French literature. He named his baby daughter a Jewish girl, religious man, an Orthodox man, davening in shul every day, tefillin, talmud tefillin. Came to shul all the time, shabbat yantar. I said, did they tell me? He named his baby Yizhut Atalia just to make fun of the hang-up that the Orthodox have about being didactic about the name. I understand, you don't like the hang-up. So you tone it down a little bit. But to go, I mean, I thought so, I thought so, to go the other way, to name his child Yizhut Atalia. Too much joking, too much nonsense. Many feel that we have exaggerated, and there are those who feel that many Orthodox have exaggerated the din in the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos of the Chaval LeRosho. You have to stay away from these forms and not let associate with these forms. Not let associate with any organization that associates with any organization that associates with any organization that associates with the reform. I remember the first time that I met Rav Ruderman, the final doctor from Baltimore. Very interesting conversation. So among other things, in the middle of conversation, we spoke for an hour and a half, I think. Very interesting. So he asked me, where do I live? I teach in yeshiva. I live near yeshiva. I live in Washington Heights. He says in Yiddish, oh, I live by the Yekis. So he says, the Yekis, they're wonderful people, he says in Yiddish. But they have one little hang-up, he tells me. That from all of the Tayyad mitzvahs, they hold that the mitzvah of Altrit is more important than all the other mitzvahs. They really tuck an Indian off his Kabbalah Rosh. You're not allowed to associate with reform. But it has to be within a mosque, within a midah. Not to associate with someone who associates with someone who associates with someone who associates with reform, that's a little too far. So many feel that this has been exaggerated by many in the Orthodox camps. So they're not so mastered on this. But recently, one of the prominent Orthodox shuls in the New York area sponsored public shiurim where they advertised, where they announced in the leaflets and the flyers that they distributed to the people in the community, learn, study the text with the rabbis. They invite all the balabatim to come to study all the texts with the rabbis. The text they're going to discuss is going to be about Eilu Eilu Divrei Kumchai. That's what it says. And who are the rabbis? So they have Orthodox, Conservative, Reform, and Reconstructionists. And they're all going to talk about studying the text with the rabbis. Now what are they going to say really about Eilu Eilu Divrei Kumchai is a comment that the Gemara has with respect to Rishon and Rishul. It didn't know he passed the land of Rishul, but Eilu Eilu Divrei Kumchai. So what are they going to say? We know what they're going to say. That the Orthodox are bad, they're like the Beisham, right? But the Reconstructionists are like the Civil, so it's for care. You know, we always say, even though we don't pass the like the Beisham, but their opinion is also terrible. You learn their sheep is also a Hefton Shalter. So here they're trying to sell us that they were good, that the Orthodox are the Beisham, but the Civil are also Divrei Kumchai. That the Civil are the Mekil, and they're also Divrei Kumchai. Listening. So people are so, many of the Orthodox are so turned off by the exaggeration that certain are always talking about the ostrich and the ostrich and the ostrich, so they don't go for that. So they allow this. This is a Chachamadim Sosa. To sponsor such a public talk that we're all going to give Shiur and Torah together. The Orthodox, the Conservatives, the Reformers, the Reconstruction, Hakol, Bakol, Mikol, we're all going to give Shiur. And everybody's alienated even in Kinkai. So Zicharos. What's our shadow? The Zichar prohibited. You're going to have the person that says, Moshe Kibbutz HaMesina, speak together, the person says, Moshe Kibbutz HaMesina, on the same platform, all together, and we call everything Torah, and everything is approved with the reality of the Eastern Fire. It says in the Toskim, they call Malach in Shulchan Aruch, that if a Nochri comes to me with a gun, and he says he's going to kill me, unless I eat the chazah. So the dinner that they talk Nafish is going to, so I eat the chazah and I save my life. What if a Nochri comes with a gun and he says he's going to kill me, unless I eat chazah, because you know that since Osa Huish came on the scene, you're permitted to eat chazah. All laws of the Torah no longer apply. So in that case, the din is the authority of Yavro. You're not permitted to subscribe to such a position that the laws of the Torah are not binding, even though you're not saying it. But if you're eating the chazah and implies that you believe that since Osa Huish came on the scene, the laws of the Torah are not binding, that's called Avodah Zarah. That's Yehoshua by Yavro. That's not a chumrit. It's not a 20th century chumrit from Auschwitz. That's taken in Shulchan Aruch. The person thought the children are Hazar. That is excessive. So to have such a function where you have Orthodox with Reconstructionists together and everybody's teaching Torah together, that's scandalous. There are many who haven't met as Chassidus. I see some here, many Chassidus. When it comes Friday, Chassos, they put away all the work, they go home. After Chassos, they might have such a minute. After Chassos, we don't say anyway. So that's a little exaggerated. What? So those who have such a midas chassid, some people say their finger, their hand just can't write. They can't do anything after Chassos, but that's modeled. Most people don't have such a nitiyah. Most people feel that they can do work after Chassos. But to do work till the end of the day, and then you're going to drive in heavy traffic, and you're going to rely on nisim, and you're going to make it by Shabbos. It's a joke. People are so lax about Shabbos, they're not even concerned about not making it before Shabbos. They just leave themselves exactly so much time to get home. And what if there's a traffic jam for 2 minutes, then you're going to miss an extension. And there may even be a traffic jam for more than 2 minutes, then what are you going to do? The Rav always used to say, in America there's no Shabbos, there's no sense of observing Shabbos, because there's no Erev Shabbos. If you have hachana for Erev, if you make it about Yom, there's no Kedusha, there's no hachana. The SOI always hangs up these signs. Ain't Kedusha below hachana. From the Salvatic's writings. If you got Mechen Meir of Shabbos, there's not going to be any Hargosha of Shabbos. If the people stay in the office till Mamash, till half an hour before Shabbos, then they just make it by the skin of their teeth. So of course there's no Shabbos, there's no Hakonah. Not only do you have to have Hakonah, you have to be Moses Mechayel of HaKadosh. The Halacha requires that you have to, the Rambam says that that's Kvod Shabbos. The person should take a shower in the Bod Yom, and he should be dressed with the Big Day Shabbos, not with his funny suit, with the Big Day Shabbos. He should be sitting and waiting in the Yachel and the Safa and the Bo HaShabbos. He should wait till the Shabbos comes. And all yeshiva were familiar with the position of the Rambam, who stresses that you should never go to either extreme. You should never be an extremist. Should always go in the middle of the road, the Derech HaMamutzah. All the extremes are terrible. And even if Hachamim are not permitted to make Zeres, if they're going to make too much of a Zeres, they're on the Zeres, so the Gemara says they're not allowed. So in the Prima Gemara says it's a violation of all person. But nonetheless, the Rambam himself quotes the Gemara that sometimes you have to make a Zeres, sometimes you have to go to an extreme. The Gemara says in the first half in Spesa, Haro Esota Bikalkula Yadratam in Ayayin. If you live in a generation where there's priestess, there's an absolute lack of sneeze, and you have to go to the extreme. We live in a generation where there's a lot of extreme in the wrong direction. And even according to the Rambam, we are not permitted, and it doesn't make sense that we should go to Derech HaMamutzah. Many things in life it does make sense that we should go to Derech HaMamutzah, and other things not. If you live in such a society with so much priestess, with so much amaratzis, and with so much anti-Torah attitude, you cannot just tick hechateisa, whatever yeshiva for your children, and whatever secondary education, it doesn't matter. It's not the hechateisa. If you're not going to go out of your way to exaggerate what education, what kind of hashpah you're going to give your children, you're going to fall in. You're not going to have Jewish children, they won't be observant. The Rambam himself says you have to go to an extreme. Yes, of course I remember Rav Soloveitchik giving a major address. But that's not being too serious in life, and that's why he jokes around. I remember I never knew Rabbi Zhishansky, but I was a student in high school when he passed away. So Rav Soloveitchik delivered a knockout hesped on that occasion. So he said that very often, the main theme of the hesped I think was that very often Rav Soloveitchik would feel very hurt about what someone had beobbled him, and what he heard he would feel insulted and so on. So when he would sometimes pour his heart out to Rav Shishansky, he would say, yeah, don't take it to heart, you really have to listen to what everybody says. And he taught him this ikkar that you don't have to take everything so seriously. So Rav Soloveitchik gave a drasha on that occasion at the Hesed, or in the state of a major talk. He gave a drasha on the passage in the Gemara in the beginning of Avodah Zarah, where the Gemara speaks about what is the Rabbi Shalom's program all day long. What is his schedule? What does he do? So the Gemara has a strange comment that 3 hours every day the Rebbeinu Shlom plays with the Leviathan. What do you mean plays with the Leviathan? He said, a puzzle. The Leviathan says, Tzaritza Lusakit, but the Rebbeinu Shlom created the Leviathan in order to play with it. What did he play with the Leviathan? So Leviathan suggested maybe that's what the Chazal are trying to teach us. So Halak to the Drachim, we should all go in the ways of the Rebbeinu Shlom. So the Rebbeinu Shlom is trying to tell us that he doesn't take everything in the world so seriously. He jokes around sometimes. So Leviathan also said, was like that. He was, most of the time he was very serious, and sometimes he would be in a joking mood. You don't have to take everything so seriously. But it's not that he held that nothing has to be taken seriously and nothing counts, and everything could be informal and you can dress however you want on Shabbos and the person can dress. He was always very mocked, a tremendous stickler. How about Mike, the person can't take, and he told the boy, that's something. And even if you're perspiring and it's hot and there's no air conditioning, you're married in June, you have to wear the hat. If you wear a hat to the chuppah, if you don't wear a hat, you're lucky. If you're going to wear a hat to the chuppah, if that's the color dick and malbushin for you, then on your madrega, you have to wear the hat the whole time in public. You're not allowed to take it off. There are times that you have to be serious. There are times that you have to be formal. It's not always that you have it. 3 hours a day that a bunch of jokes around. Not all day long. Everything is a joke. Kashrus is not a joke. And Shabbos is not a joke. And Paris on Shabbos is not a joke. And all the dinatara are not a joke. It's just that the Rav, the Chacham Gadol, used to sometimes joke about when some people are exaggerating part of the, if they're exaggerating about naming children, they take a tofel and make it into a nika, so he's the lock for Christ in this game. But not that he would take everything as a joke, nothing really matters. The motto of our yeshiva is Torah Mado. Dr. Lam spoke many times about the Torah Mado. And I remember on one occasion, Dr. Lam realized that the people don't understand what it means. That with all of his rushes and all of his talking, they think that there are 613 mitzvahs, and you go to Derech HaMamutzah, you get 306 mitzvahs, that's the Derech HaMamutzah. In the middle. from 613 to fulfill. Remember, on one occasion he was giving a major address in the Lanford Auditorium. But he said he had to explain what Torah Mada does not mean. It is just describe what it is. Keep on talking so much what it is, so you won't fully understand. So he said, it does not mean that you don't have to be medactic in all the mitzvahs. That's obdurate. That's given. Of course you have to be observant and medactic in all the deeds. Torah Mada, in his opinion, meant something else, and he continued to give another explanation as to what it means. There's a terrible mistake that people make. In the Sefer Tznuas HaMusar, the story is told that Rabbi Sol Salanter had encouraged one of his students, Simcha Zisel, to establish the Beis Medrash, the Talmud Torah in Kelem. It was a high school with secular studies. It was the first high school with secular studies in Lithuania, in modern times. But after many months of planning to open this yeshiva on one fine day out of the clear blue sky, he asked Simcha Zisel, do you foresee any dangers in opening up such yeshiva? So he said, absolutely. He thinks that it's very risky, but he's going to try to see through it. He thinks it may turn into an egel azal. So the Sol Salanter said, it's a good thing that you told me that, because if you would have said, no, you don't foresee any dangers, then I would have told you to scrap the whole idea. If you realize that there may be dangers, so then I can rely on you that you'll keep your eyes open and you'll run the school properly. Or in law and ista, like the Pasuk says in Mishnah. The clever person sees that there may be a problem and he's careful. But the Soyin and the fools, over in Danosha, the fools run in and they don't even realize that they're in trouble. You have to realize that we have it, that there may be a danger. Whenever you do a chiddush, whenever you're starting with some new chiddush, that's not the traditional way of doing things, one has to be very careful that the chiddush doesn't turn out to be a shinui. These are two different things. Chiddushim are acceptable, but shinui means that you're in violation of the Torah. You have to have a strong masorah in order to know what is a chiddush and what is a shinui. I remember one several years ago, one Shabbos, when Rabbi Lichtenstein was here, he even at his shul, so every so often he comes once or twice a year, he spends Shabbos in yeshiva, and all of the Talmidim spend the Shabbos. So on the Tzoy Shabbos, they had to get together, and he asked them all kinds of questions, whatever they want to know. They call it the press conference. They shoot questions, and he gives the answers, and it's a whole discussion. So one of the boys wanted to ask, what's his opinion about a certain practice that was going on at that time? And he thought that Rabbi Lichtenstein would say it's perfectly okay. So they told me, I wasn't going to tell Rabbi Lichtenstein, he said, it's an egel azot. The opposite, just menakotze lakotze. The fellow thought, with his insight, with his understanding of Rabbi Lichtenstein, with his understanding of Rav Soloveitchik, and we followed the road, and the road was, he thought Rabbi Lichtenstein is perfectly okay. Rabbi Lichtenstein said, what do you mean? It's an egel azot. It's very hard, people who are not so well-versed in learning, can't always understand what's a chiddush and what's a shinui. Sometimes what seems to them to be a beautiful chiddush is really a total shinui from the masor. We have traditions, hundreds of years old, thousands of years old, and different things, as to how to keep mitzvahs and how to lead our lives. There's no need for us to reject all of our traditions. It's a wonderful thing to look to the Gemara. We look to the Rav, others look to the Bob of the Rebbe, the Sapna Rebbe, the Babcha Rebbe, each one has his tzaddik. It's a wonderful thing to look to the tzaddik on the assumption that they're always hein hamer kovet, that by looking to the Gdalim, by looking at the tzaddikim, they represent all of the midas of the Likus, and this is the way for us to learn how to fulfill the mitzvah of Allah with the Rav. But Bamedra Amurim, if you know what you're looking at, if you understand what the Adam Golem is doing, very often people see they don't understand. The same stories about Rav Moshe Feinstein, so many stories that they were saying that Rav Moshe holds that a certain Chol HaMisrael is not acceptable. Why? Because they were at a bris that morning, and Rav Moshe picked up the bottle of Chol HaMisrael, whatever, different kind, and he put it away and he took the other one. Ah, so J&J is not good. And they asked, someone asked Rav Moshe, what's wrong with J&J? He says, the bottle is empty. He wants to look in the bottle. He wasn't supposed to look in the stuff. He wants to look, that he put it away. One day someone saw Rav Moshe. He licked the stamp, he wrote a letter and he put it in an envelope and he addressed it, then he licked the stamp and he put it on the front, and then in the back of the envelope, instead of licking with his tongue, he licked his finger and he made it like this. He made the glue wet. And somebody saw, obviously, the Moshe has checked into it, that the glue on the back of the envelope is not kosher, whereas the glue on the stamp is kosher. Sure, so they were saying in New York City for a few days that the glue on the back of some of the envelopes is not kosher, you gotta be careful. And then somebody said, Moshe, how did he know, where did he find out? He said, no! That morning he had licked the back of an envelope and he cut his tongue. So it was a shock. So he didn't want to cut his tongue again. So he licked it with his finger. He didn't want to lick it again. When you look at an Adam Gadol, it's wonderful to imitate. To learn Dachi Hashem 100%. But you have to understand, what is the Adam Gadol doing? The Gemara tells the story of the first parak in Chumen. That Rav Meir ochel ala shel yeret in the Beit Shan region. And he wasn't makrish any tumas and maisis. And based on that testimony, Rav Yudal Nasi Tatsin, that Beit Shan has the status of chutzlar. Does not produce authority. You don't have to be makrish any tumas and maisis. So the Gemara says, but how do you know? Maybe it was like this, maybe it was like that, maybe the other consideration happened just because he wasn't makrish tumas and maisis. How do you know the story? So the Gemara says, look here. The one who told over the story was a prominent person, Rabbi Shua ben Zori. The Gemara says, Chazi man gavar rabbi kamasar alei. This gavar rabbi, this Tana, told us over the story. He understood what he was seeing. Many times when we look at people, we don't understand their style, we don't understand the words that they use. A lot of times we don't even understand the Sikha school under the Talmud Chacham. Let alone our salvation. He had a very fancy style in Hebrew and in English and in Yiddish, everything that he spoke his own language. It wasn't regular Hebrew, it wasn't regular English, it wasn't regular Yiddish. A lot of times when he said terms, it didn't mean the same thing that he meant by everybody else. It meant he had his own meaning. He had words that meant something else. If you listen to him speak for many years, you'll understand what he's talking about. Avad, it's wonderful to follow what Rav Soloveitchik did. But Bamed Rama Murda, if you know what it is. Many people today, talking about Orthodox, the name Turner, extremely, the name Aria, the name Yeshiva Bnei Aria. They treat the religion as if the whole thing is a game. As if everybody's just trying to outsmart the other one. And trump everybody else in face. As if it's a team. And everybody's competing with everybody else. Why is it a game? We're trying to fulfill the Ratzon HaHashem. They gave us mitzvahs. We're not trying to outsmart each other. It's scandalous. So the whole religion is undone. And then after our salvation passed away, somebody published a nasty article in one of the newspapers. So one of them was smoking from the yeshiva called me up. I should join. We were going to print a machor in the newspaper. Wants to have everybody's name. So I told him, I love my Rebbe also, and I think it's a busy bizarre in the way he was attacked. And I said, it's going to be endless on the stuff. What are you going to? You're going to argue my Rebbe is better. My Rebbe is bigger than your Rebbe. Your Rebbe is bigger than my Rebbe. Vice versa again, the same old chazal. You're going to go forever. It's like never going to end. I said, the way to make the machor is, we'll print for him, we'll write over Rav Soloveitchik's prayers, we'll write his drushes, we'll say over his shittas. That'll be the makor. Just to imitate what the Rav does, what the Rav did, doesn't always fit in for other people. To say over what he did and they have to taste it, that's limud. Even though we don't pass him like Beshamai, but we say over shittas Beshamai, they'll be able to give it to Kechan. There's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So to even say over Hanhogas and Rav Soloveitchik that we are not going to follow. I don't follow most of the Hanhogas that I quoted from Rav Soloveitchik and myself. I do not follow. What does it got to do with me? Rav Soloveitchik himself said that he wouldn't recommend it for other people. These are private, these were his family traditions. This is what he followed. We shouldn't make an off-god of Rav Soloveitchik. I don't know, okay. Recently, someone published a manuscript in Kisroel Pesach. Someone published a manuscript from Chaim on the Gemara in the Bava Metzi, a whole scandal. There was a 50-page introduction at the beginning of the manuscript that the sun didn't shine until that time this was born. And no one ever knew how to learn Torah until that time. It's like he's the assistant God. He may even be greater than God himself. He's God. And after that time passed away, the one and only Einon Novada was up. They'll know the salvation. Nobody else knows how to learn. Nobody else knows. Only that time. A little an exaggeration. They were great. Moshe Rabbeinu preceded that time. They also knew how to learn all of this. They're all tzaddikim. Feishu also not there. Not there. And see the soldier? They were great. His only daughter was not there. Only Rav Chaim and only Rav Avraham. They make such an uproar of Rav Chaim and Rav Avraham. Some of our proof, I'm making an uproar for Rav Soloveitchik. I don't want to be mizalful in his covers, but I think those who are making an uproar are not being mizalful in his covers. The whole idea doesn't fit in that we're imitating all of his hanhogas. Some of them fit in, and most of them don't fit in for us. One of the Memchez Dvar Shatara Mitzvahs Behem that the Mishnah mentions in the end of Masechus Overs is Ohev Esatzer Chochas, one who appreciates Musa. The Tzatzeres made Shuvah, and the minig always was, you look in the Nebbi Yehudis form, look in the others from, they always used to give Musa Tachochas. Sometimes they would give with a drasha, without a drasha. The Gemara says sometimes the Tamidei Chachamim are quiet and they don't complain. In the Shaski Rabbanah Shmami Nazimichamo, sometimes the Tamidei Chachamim have to give them a call. These are things that have been annoying me for a long time, and I felt Sarah's make sure that it's the best time to give a little Pechacha. We all have a responsibility to maintain the Tzelem Elikim that we all were given, the Pranam Lamakim that we all have or was implanted within us. And the best way to maintain it is taka by looking up to the Tzaddikim and by acting the way they acted with their divine leaders, and by studying the Tanakh and seeing the way the Ribbono Shel Olam is described throughout the Tanakh. This is a responsibility we have to ourselves and to our children and to all the Jewish community and to the Ummah Sarim as well. We're all Kalam Yos Kishem Hashem Mikro Olecho V'yorim Imecho. So we have to make sure that we have straight what the Tzalam Alekim is. We should be careful not to distort the Tzalam Alekim. That is all praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hoyim Eleinu B'Tzal HaSecho. Thank you for coming to the Sefer. Now we present the Mitzvah Sefer. The Tzadik Rebbeinu the Yavdach of the Yemes. I want to wish everybody a Gmar Chassim and Tevo. Shabbat Chaim V'Shalom.